much about.
You got to put it in perspective.
Support for Pawnee Community Radio comes from the Wendell G. and Muriel Fathright Korbelman Foundation and Sweetums Cares, a nonprofit group that puts umbrella hats on homeless people when it rains.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
You know, personally, I do not believe in God because I do not know what that word means. I do know that it spells cat backwards, though.
I'm honestly not judging you.
Really? So this super judgy feeling I'm feeling is just me feeling like you're super judgy and that's me?
And now,
it's not brave or admirable or courageous. It's stupid.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Thursday. It's the 6th of August.
What's happening, you guys?
What's up?
What's up?
Is today going to be dynamic and exciting?
Yeah.
We're going to put on the best goddamn radio show anyone's ever heard.
I'd like you to take another run at that, Allie.
Yeah.
There you go. Right. That's what I'm talking about.
No.
That's too bad.
I sense some doubt already in your voice. Come on. We can't win unless we believe we can win, Allie.
I believe that we can win. Yeah? No?
No, I sure. Believe you on that
a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
That's good. It's all there.
Hey, I have a question for you, the girl, and that is, what is your stance on jury duty? Because Kevin hates it and has done everything he can to get out of it over the decades, and I love it and beg for it and have only ever been called one time and still didn't get on a jury. And it depresses me every day that listeners burn me with their emails of, hey, I got jury duty. Where are you?
It does crack me up that Bean really, really wants it, and they will not.
Nope. They're not interested in my opinion on anything.
They just don't want him.
I'm about to jinx myself.
Okay. Oh, you haven't had to do it yet.
Never. And every time I go to vote in a weird rumpus room, which maybe that's why. Maybe I'm not even voting.
Maybe you're not even
but
voting.
It's in this weird garage. And every time I'm like, here, I'm just going to hand you my ballot. And because I fill everything out, but then I walk it over instead of mailing it. Is
right.
that weird?
No.
It's, okay.
It's not weird.
But every time I'm like, this is it. This is the year that they're going to be like.
It's weird depending on who you hand that to.
Just the guy in a garage.
I mean, if
is
that's
that
the case,
weird?
Then that's a little weird.
Yeah, I find it odd that I have never,
well,
ever
that's where been asked. That's where I was until about 5 years ago. And I kept
really?
Saying, I'd come in and I go, I've never, ever gotten a jury summons. And I vote and I'm a citizen and I have a driver's license.
Yeah.
And all the things that are supposed to get you on the rolls to be selected from, yet they wouldn't call me. And then the day I got called, oh my God, it was like a celebration. I was so happy. And then I went in and I got narrowed down to a field of, say, 20 or so, and they never even asked me a question.
Right.
But they still let me go.
Just looks at you.
Yeah.
Nope.
They can tell.
And by the way, speaking of they can tell, I'm a great juror because I can tell if somebody's guilty just by looking at them.
Yep.
So I'm the guy who ought to be on a
you're,
jury.
Sure. You're who they want.
You're the only one they
right?
need.
Weird. So weird.
So the reason I bring that up is, and Kevin, you'll appreciate this as a man who has made up many excuses to not be able to be on a jury, is that Wednesday in Dallas, a group of potential jurors who showed up to fulfill their civic duty were joined by a most unexpected fellow citizen, former President George W. Bush. Had received a jury summons and reported for service as scheduled at the George Allen Courts Building in Dallas.
How weird. Was he just sitting there with the other group of people?
Yes, he was. He
How
sat there
weird.
Through the jury selection panel for a case in Judge Eric Moyer's court on the 14th Civil District, but was not picked to serve as a juror. He was there for about 3 hours and posed for photos with other jury candidates, with judges, and with court staff. And I'm looking at a whole bunch of these pictures of him just smiling and just he's just there in like jeans and a shirt sleeve, you know, short sleeves on a shirt and just taking pictures, looking like he's having the time of his life at jury duty. Now, I'm trying to figure out. I have no idea what the case was, but doesn't it seem like George W. Bush would be more than qualified to be on any jury on any case?
I mean, don't know. I think there's at some point they're afraid that they're going to be a distraction.
Yeah. And
right?
I don't know how it works once you are no longer the sitting president, but don't you have security, a detail with you?
Yes. Yeah, Secret Service with you, yes.
That's a whole ordeal, too. They'd have to make
Accommodations for additional persons.
For a bunch of people.
That's awesome, though.
So you're suggesting, Allie, that they dismissed him not because of anything having to do with the case or his potential verdict on the case, just that it would be a hassle at the courtroom to have
too
him.
Much.
Okay. That's what I would think, too. Then why was he there for 3 hours if that were the case? Because if they see that, oh, here comes George W. Bush with 8 Secret Service guys. We don't, nobody got time for that. You send them home, right?
Maybe so people would do the story and people listening to the story would be like, well, if he can fulfill his civic duty,
that could be.
I should too.
So you think they had a public relations department on this, on
conspiracy.
The ground as it was happening?
Absolutely.
Conspiracy.
I think you'd be lucky to get a guy. I mean, look, I don't know what, again, I don't know what the trial was, but let's say a guy knocked over a liquor store. I think you'd want a guy who could handle being president to be able to judge your case. You know what I mean? Like, it seems like he'd be capable of it.
Yeah, I would think so. But again, I mean, the distraction factor, maybe there are other people there who hate him and his policies.
And couldn't pay attention
So he might have been a distraction in that way, too.
Yeah, I think.
By the way, just as a PS, in April of this year, John Roberts, the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, was summoned to jury duty.
Well, he doesn't know what he's doing.
That guy has no idea what he's talking about.
In Maryland, he was a potential juror in a car crash case before he was asked to leave. And Vice President Joe Biden reportedly served on a jury in Delaware in 2011. At least was in a potential jury pool, not selected to serve. So none of these guys ever get through, but they do show up to do their duty. So I just think that's – imagine you wake up in Dallas and you're like, ugh, like most people, ugh, I can't believe I have jury duty. And then you go and you get your picture taken with President Bush. I mean, that's a win, right?
I'm just picturing Biden just sitting there like winking and pointing at people. I'm digging it.
Well, anyway, if you're listening out there, send a jury summons to Allie McKay.
Nope.
And send another one to me.
Send both to him.
Bean's been begging for it.
Wow.
He just can't. They're not interested.
Oh, drives me
crazy. I think you're not anyone's peer. I think that's the problem. Has to be a jury of peers.
How dare you?
I think you can rule on no one because you're kind of on your own. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Great story, but you should put that in a podcast so I can unsubscribe.
We are going to do a new edition of Bean's Death Corner.
New edition is going to be here? Yeah, that's why they don't want me on a jury.
Yeah. Stupid bad jokes. Nope. Not happening.
I'm going to just tell you. We got that's coming up in like a half hour. This Death Corner. There's a case so mysterious that may be the only one we get to is to try to figure out what happened in this one.
Huh.
Someone got killed, but when you hear the circumstances around the death, you're going to be your puzzler's going to be sore.
My puzzler's going to be sore.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that I'm looking forward to that. Also on the program today, we are going to talk to Dan O'Toole from Fox Sports Live. We are going to talk to Robbie Madison. Maybe you've seen the video of him. He surfs on his dirt bike. That's a thing.
Like you do.
Jensen Karp will be on the show today. Kevin and Bean's beef correspondent.
Yeah.
He's whatever correspondent we need at the time. But this Drake Meek Mill thing is just crazy.
Yeah.
And it has captured your imagination.
I love it. I don't know why. I love it. But we're going to talk to him and find out just exactly what's going on behind the scenes. And Methy Tarzan on the program today as well. So we'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat now. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
Time for a first look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Thursday morning. In for Ralph, who will be back on Monday morning. By the way, here's Ali.
Well, with 16 years and almost 2,600 episodes under his belt, tonight is it. The last night of Jon Stewart doing The Daily Show.
I love Jon Stewart.
Yeah.
Think he's brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
Don't really watch The Daily Show.
Yeah. I think a lot of people just see the clips that really make it go viral.
They do put a lot on online.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we just, I think this was the case with David Letterman, too. Everybody was a fan. Everybody acknowledged he was great. Everybody was glad he was on. But we've kind of moved on a little bit from that person.
But I'd rather that he stayed on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just so that I would know he's there.
Right.
Yeah, it's comforting, isn't it?
He didn't ask me about this. That's weird. Yeah, I'm frustrated.
Kevin, I'm glad you told us. Mm-hmm. That's
get
brave.
Get off my chest.
Yeah. Well, tonight is the last night. Comedy Central is keeping the finale plans a secret, but word is the show does go a little long. So if you want to watch the finale later on DVR, might want to extend that by about half an hour just to be safe. And if you're wondering, does Trevor Noah start tomorrow? When is his big debut? Nope, you're going to have to wait for that until September the 28th.
What are they going to run in between? In the
Great
meantime?
Question.
Great question, Bean.
Yeah.
Because I was again, going back to Letterman, when he left and Stephen Colbert didn't start for several months, I thought, what are they going to do with that time slot in late night? And they just, they're like reruns of The Mentalist or something.
I believe they're going to run The Mentalist.
Okay.
On right. Comedy yes. Central. Wouldn't that be great for The Mentalist, though? Whole new audience.
It is very funny.
The Mentalist, yeah. Laugh riot. Well, one reason I'm super sad that Jon Stewart is leaving is because tonight is also the big debates. Yes, the first primetime GOP debates are tonight on Fox News. Donald Trump, you guys, up there on a dais with other men running for president.
Now, I am sad that other men are allowed to be at this debate.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Bean, but the first debates generally are where it's just crazy and everybody's yelling.
I mean, it can be sometimes. I mean, look, here's the mindset going into early debates in a presidential campaign that still has a year and a half to go. And that is, just don't say anything dumb. Don't misspeak. Have a soundbite that goes viral that cripples your campaign early. Be as safe as possible. Don't get in any fights. That's really what people are trying to do tonight.
As soon as Donald Trump or somebody says something, though, then it's like, oh, I have to outshout them so that my point is heard.
Well,
that's what I'm hoping for.
There could be some of that.
That's what I'm hoping for.
Donald,
let me tell you, I'm a really smart guy.
Right.
He did say on Good Morning America, quote, I don't want to attack anybody. Maybe I'll be attacked. Maybe not. I'd rather just discuss the issues, but certainly I don't want to attack. If I'm attacked, I have to do something back, but I'd like to be very civil. He flip-flopped in one quote. That is
He covered all his bases.
Brilliant.
I only care about his answers. I don't care about anybody else's.
Yeah, exactly. There's going to be an early debate with Rick Perry and Santorum, a bunch of other guys, but the primetime debate, that's Trump, Bush, Huckabee, Rubio, Rand Paul, Chris Christie, that is the primetime debate.
It is hilarious.
Part of the beauty of me is that I'm very rich.
Okay. Sure. Sure. It is hilarious, Kevin, that there are so many candidates that they can't put them all in one debate, so they're having two debates. They're having the top 10 candidates following the bottom six candidates.
Yeah. And how
one right
sad
after another.
For Rick Perry. He's like, oh, B-team so
in the
B early.
B-team, this sucks.
So early. Oh, poor Rick. Things will change. Don't you worry. I don't know if any of you saw Mariah Carey getting her star yesterday on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
I did not.
It went well. Her kids kind of upstaged her. It was a beautiful thing to see. But some breaking news. Empire creator...
I'm sorry, hold on. What?
Yeah, some breaking news.
And now, breaking news bulletin.
Thank you. Empire creator Lee Daniels announced that Mariah Carey will be starring on Empire next season.
Oh.
We don't know what she's going to do just yet, but she, of course, has a long history with Lee Daniels being in The Butler and in the movie Precious. And, well, this is just for Bean.
You're doing a story only for Bean?
And maybe a few others that are listening right now, but it's mostly just to delight Bean and make his day that much better.
All right.
Archie, your favorite comic is headed to Broadway.
Yeah!
And you may say to yourself, Archie, the comic strip,
best comic strip ever.
That would be my question.
But does this change your mind? Who's bringing it? Adam McKay. He's working with the crew at Funny or Die to bring Archie, the comic strip, to Broadway.
Now I'm in.
Now you're in.
Adam McKay's a genius, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's Will Ferrell's partner, and they do everything together. He's great.
He is great. We're going to find out more about that. I will stay on the Archie tip. What?
Please do.
Sounds
that,
weird.
If they could incorporate that into the show, now they got something. Allie on the Archie tip.
Allie McKay starring on the Archie tip. Oh, my poor understudy.
Are you prepared to battle royale with Veronica and Betty, though, to get to Archie?
I don't know.
A lot of competition there with those girls.
They are tough. Oh, goodness. Whoa. Yeah, well, Bean, get your bell finger ready, because there are some ladies you're going to love that were all born today on August 6th, but let me get through the first one. Director M. Night Shyamalan is 45 years old.
Or is he?
That's a good question.
Plot twist, there is no M. Night Shyamalan.
Right? He doesn't exist. He's a figment of our imagination. M. Night Shyamalan is all of us.
We've all been ruining movies. What? Singer Jerry Halliwell is 43 years old. Bates Motel actress Vera Farmiga, she is 42. Actress Melissa George is 39.
Can you not? Oh,
Daddy yeah. Likey.
Oh.
Just Melissa George, you guys. Come on.
Yeah, but don't say.
I don't want to read the next two.
Then don't.
Really? You already did Vera Farmiga and Melissa George. Yeah. There's more?
Marissa Miller is turning 37. And model Charlotte McKinney is 22.
Wow!
I know. I know.
Why isn't this a holiday?
Right? Go hit the shower. I'm Allie McKay, in for Ralph Garman. Welcome to Showbiz Beat.
All right, time for the early risers to have a shot at these Fallout Boy tickets. We're talking about Monday night at the Hollywood Bowl. That show is going to be featuring Wiz Khalifa. It's part of their Boys of Zummer tour. Also, we want you to come see Fallout Boy here at K-Rock in a private acoustic performance in the Red Bull Sound Space. So we're looking for Fallout Boy fans right now at 1-800-520-1067. You're going to have to earn the tickets. We got a game you're going to have to play. It's going to be tough for you. It's going to be even tougher for us. It's going to be a very painful game for all concerned. But at the end of it, someone will win tickets to both Fallout Boy performances. So that's a pretty good deal. Bobcat Goldthwait joins us in the 7 o'clock hour talking about his exceptional new movie that's in theaters this weekend. Right now, though, how about an all-new Beans Death Corner?
Hey, everybody. Gather all the kiddies around the radio. It's time for Beans Death Corner.
Bean loves death any time of day. He gets all giddy and screams hooray.
There's something wrong in his head. Death.
We don't know what's wrong with Bean, but now you'll get to see what we mean.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
I
love death.
Allie, you still loving the Hannibal on NBC?
I do, very
Your
much.
Your favorite show, right?
Yeah.
Well, you're going to love this story even more then. Her name is Tamara Samsonova. She is 68 years old. She lives in Russia. And she has been given the nickname by the British papers as Granny Ball Lecter.
Granny Ball Lecter. What a great name.
68 years old, apparently has murdered, chopped up, and eaten 14 victims.
What?
She was arrested this week over the murder of her friend Valentina Ulanova, age 79, spotted on CCTV footage carrying Ulanova's body parts in a black plastic bag. They found her decapitated corpse in a nearby pond. They believe she drugged her victim and cut her up while she was still alive in an argument over dirty teacups. They raided her flat in St. Petersburg, discovered diaries kept by her in which she listed what police say could total 14 murders. They include a man whose business card was found at her home, whose remains were found 12 years ago. His head, legs, and arms were cut off. She is also suspected of killing her husband, who went missing in 2005. In one diary entry, she confessed that she butchered a lodger in her apartment, someone who's renting a room for her. She wrote, "I killed my tenant, Volyoda, cut him to pieces in the bathroom with a knife, put the pieces of his body in plastic bags and threw them away." She said as she
Why
was...
Why do you keep a diary of that?
I don't know.
I mean,
but
like,
look,
it's logical, but...
We watch Hannibal, and they all have hinky things that they need to do. They have to take souvenirs, or they have to be there to watch the people find the body. I mean, they all have honked up stuff. She told the judge after she was called in court, by the way, "I was getting ready for this court action for dozens of years. I was it was all done deliberately. With this last murder, I have closed a chapter." She said, "You decide what my punishment will be, Your Honor. I am guilty." So she's not denying it. But how about that? How about 14 bodies attributed to this woman who apparently ate some of them? Granny Ball Lecter in the news. That's a powerful story right there.
Wow.
Now we bring it a little closer to home. Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Here's a man who police say was upset that his ex-girlfriend would not name their newborn son after him. The kid was 3 months old, by the way, and the father said, "Look, name the baby after me." His girlfriend said no. So what reasonable reaction did he have to that disappointing news? You can imagine that he fatally stabbed the girlfriend to death and beat her 72-year-old grandmother to death as well.
Police say
he dropped off his 3-month-old son at his mother's house. Police say the baby had blood splattered on him, but the man claimed that his girlfriend, 19-year-old Tiana Banks, had tried to stab him. In reality, police say, after an investigation, that he had in fact stabbed his girlfriend 15 times and also killed her grandmother, Valerie Crumpton.
This is a pretty grim death corner.
It is pretty grim, yeah.
You need to bring some funny.
That is not a good reaction to a dispute over a baby name. All right, I think here's the story that's more in line with what you were hoping for, Kevin.
Okay, good.
A family outing turned into tragedy on Monday when a best man accidentally killed the groom-to-be just days before his wedding.
Accidentally. Much better.
Yes, accidentally. Okay. This guy was out in the woods with his best friend, the 31-year-old groom-to-be, his fiancée and their two children when the accident happened. What happened was he is a woodsman. He has a big old tractor, a harvester. It's actually even bigger than a tractor. It's a timber harvesting vehicle. And he thought, hey, I'm going to give my best friend, who's going to be married in a few days, I'm going to give his kids a thrill by taking them on a tractor ride.
Oh, no.
The kids are fine, by the way. So the 7 and 9-year-old sat in the harvester tractor with him while they tooled around the forest. The parents waited in the car. It was a family day out before the pair's wedding this weekend. But somehow disaster struck when the harvester tractor left the forest path and collided with the parents' car. The children's mother managed to escape the vehicle at the last minute, but the father and groom-to-be was trapped in the passenger seat as the car was crushed and was pronounced dead at the scene. So he's the best man in a wedding happening this weekend, and he kills the groom-to-be days before.
In front of the kids.
In front of the kids and the wife. Yeah.
Yeah,
so that was that was the happy story.
Much better. Thanks,
Bean. Wait, that's the up story?
Yeah.
That's the upbeat story.
Wow.
All right. Here's my favorite death quarter story of the week, and this is the one where I'm really going to need some help.
I'm already bummed out, but go ahead.
This is a I could have saved this for What's Up with Florida, but I couldn't wait. He is in Miami. He is facing a second-degree murder charge after he – here's what the – very few details. This is why I need your help putting the pieces together. He is facing a second-degree murder charge after he choked a man that he claimed was masturbating near his girlfriend at his home. Miami police were called to the residence about an unresponsive man inside the home. They found the victim lying on his back in a bedroom. Paramedics arrived, tried to revive the victim. He was pronounced dead at the scene. According to the arrest report, Rafael Valencia, 35, gave inconsistent statements to investigators. He says that he came home on the day of the incident and saw the victim masturbating near his girlfriend.
Near, meaning what? Outside a window or something?
He was in the house.
In the house.
On a bed.
He was found in a bedroom on the bed.
Yes.
Okay.
Detectives say Valencia claimed he punched the victim in the face several times, then placed him in a rear chokehold until the victim was no longer breathing. According to the report, Valencia saw that the victim was not breathing. Blood was coming out of his mouth, so he called 911. He was arrested on Tuesday, remains in jail. What was going on?
They were having sex
in that house.
For sure. They were having sex.
So you think he just walked in on... basically, his girlfriend cheating on him and killed the man. That's what it is, and that's what he's not saying.
Yeah, I can't. Yes.
So it was all voluntary then. I mean, the woman was there on purpose, knew guy was in the house, and it wasn't anything. He wasn't guilty of anything other than just cheating with an attached woman. That's all.
I would guess.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
What were you thinking? Yeah. Well,
I don't know. I was very confused about it because there's so few details about where the woman was, what the woman was doing, why the man was masturbating. I mean, they weren't having sex. I don't know.
She said, "Oh, he's home. Get up." That's what happened.
He's like, "I'm not done. Let me." See, that's what happened.
I want security footage on this case more than any other case that we've ever had in the history of Bean's Death Corner.
That was Bean's Death Corner.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
Oh, Bean loves death so much.
Fallout Boy is coming to the Red Bull Sound Space here at K-Rock for a... acoustic performance that you can see up close and personal. Plus, we'll also give you tickets to see them at the Hollywood Bowl on Monday night, along with Wiz Khalifa. Now, here's the thing. We have this thing that we do called the Wheel of Celebrities, and we love it, and it's fun. But Ralph Garman's on vacation this week, and he's the guy who has the phone number to get, like, Al Pacino down here and Arnold Schwarzenegger and all the guys he knows.
Right.
So we still want to do it, but Ralph's not here with his phone book. So what do we do?
Well... It's the wheel of janky celebrities. So none of us do impressions. But
talking about impressions? I thought these were the real guys that Ralph.
That's what
in.
I meant. The real guys. Yeah. King of Mexico has Ray Romano's phone number. It's clearly not them. It's us.
Okay.
All right. So King of Mexico does Ray and Kermit the Frog.
Yeah.
Okay.
They might sound the same, by the way.
Both very, very poorly.
Yeah.
Bean does the Hulkster.
Right, that's my only impression. And that's only because I can add the word brother to any sentence and claim I'm doing the Hulkster.
I do the Queen.
And, that's a good one.
And Vin Diesel and Alf.
Wow.
Now, I don't get a lot of call for some of those.
Wow.
Because Alf wasn't Alf on like 25 years ago?
I think so, yeah.
And Allie does Yoda.
Ish.
Ish. And, ish, right. And Elmo.
Yeah.
Elmo veers towards Marge Simpson.
Yeah. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to spin the wheel. It's going to land on one of those celebrities. And as that person, we're going to read lyrics. And you just have to tell us what song it is by Fall Out Boy.
Ah, there's the Fall Out Boy tie-in. Okay, all right. So it's the Wheel of Celebrities Janky Edition. Hit it, Steve.
The Wheel of Celebrities. The Wheel of Celebrities. It's the Wheel of Celebrities. Wheel of Celebrities.
Janky.
All right. So, again, we go to the caller, and then we spin the wheel, find out what celebrity is going to read lyrics from a Fall Out Boy song. All they have to do is identify it, and they go into the drawing to win their way into both shows.
Correct. All right. Chris in Los Alamitos.
Good morning.
You're our first guinea pig. I apologize. This is going to be tough. I hope you get it. Are you ready?
All right. Yeah.
Spin the wheel, Ojenki celebrities. Oh, it's Ray Romano.
Ray Romano.
Exciting.
Hey, Deborah.
Ray.
Hey, Deborah. How's it going?
Most of our impressions include one word. Beans is Hulkster is brother.
Yeah. Hey, what do you mean? It's really me, Ray Romano.
All right.
So all right, Ray. Let's hear your Fall Out Boy lyrics and then see if Chris can identify the song.
Here we go, Deborah. I'm in the details with the devil, so now the world can never get on my level. Oh, I just gotta get off your cage. I'm a young lover's rage. Gonna need a spark to ignite, Deborah.
What do you think there, Chris?
Oh, my God, that was the worst impression. So I'm probably gonna get it wrong.
But they're correct.
But the words are the same, so forget the impression. What song is he doing?
Dance, Dance.
Mm. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, that's terrible.
Sorry, that was this. Yeah, I don't believe that.
That's my songs, Know What You Did in the Dark. So, again, the impression, not the important part. But
right.
Let's meet contestant number two. He is in Colton, and he is Damien up next.
Hey, Damien.
Good morning, Kevin and Dean.
Are you doing Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Yeah, I'm trying to.
Okay. All right.
Look, hey, you don't get to play this game. Let us handle the horrible impressions.
We've got that on this set. All right, let's spin the wheel, see who you get.
All right, you get Yoda. Congratulations,
Yoda.
That's great news.
Hi, Yoda.
Hello.
All right, let's hear your Fall Out Boy lyrics, please.
I can move mountains. I can work a miracle. I'll keep you like an oath. May nothing but death do us part.
Nice.
Damien? Damien, what song is that?
Century. Is it Century?
No, I'm sorry. It's Uma Thurman.
All right.
That was a great
Cookie Monster.
That was a pretty good Cookie Monster. That's true.
Look, we're bad, but it's not on us that these listeners don't know Fall Out Boy.
Right? That's correct.
Okay. Let's meet our next contestant. Line three, please. It's going to be our friend Albert in Santa Ana. Hey, Albert.
Hey, how's it going?
I just want to say congratulations for surviving this far into the bit and not hanging up and just giving up on the game. All right. Let's spin the wheel, see who you get.
All right. The person reading your lyrics will be... Alf.
Yeah. Alf, everybody. Wow.
Now, that's going to be tough because I only do like a one word.
No problem.
That's all I got. It's from a cartoon in like 1988.
Well, do the best you can, Alf, because Albert is counting on you.
Can I add no problem to any of these lyrics?
Sure, of course you can.
All right.
Am I more than you bargained for yet, Willie?
Was it Willie?
Willie?
I've been dying to tell you anything you want to hear, because that's just who I am this week, Willie.
I was very, very good, Alf.
No problem.
What do you think there, Albert?
I would say Sugar, We're Going Down.
Yeah! Yeah! Nicely done.
All right.
How about that?
You are in the drawing. You are one step closer to winning Fall Out Boy tickets. Please hang on. Well done, sir. Ooh. All right. How about, Kaya? I believe, next in Laverne?
Yeah, it's Kaya.
Hi, Kaya. That's a very pretty name. Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. You ready to find out who your celebrity is?
Yes.
All right. Here we go.
Good luck. The Wheel of Janky Celebrities. And it's Elmo.
Elmo, wow.
Elmo will be reading your lyrics.
Yoda to Alf to Elmo. Who could have seen this in, in their morning routine today?
Okay. Come on! Come on and let me in! The bruises on your thighs like my fingertips!
Or fingerprints, sorry.
And this is supposed to match the darkness that you felt!
Marge Simpson.
Is that soft?
Is that Marge Simpson?
It's got to be Marge Simpson.
It's like Marge and, Elmo it's had a baby.
Elmo
that's
Simpson.
Awful.
Elmo Simpson. All right, what do you think, though, Kaya?
I could barely understand it. So I'm just going to pull a title out of my butt right now.
Okay.
I'm going to say Centuries. Cause I
yes!
Wow!
It is!
The right song was in your butt.
Wow.
Wow, that is, that's painful, man.
Yeah,
that is hard to listen to right there.
That is rough.
That is not good.
All right, Brittany in Lakewood, line 5 is our next contestant. I hope mercifully we're very near the end of
this
bit.
We are. Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, Brittany.
Hey, I feel really bad for the last contestant.
Yeah. I feel really bad for America as a result of this being on the air.
Yeah, so I apologize.
All right, here we go. Good luck. Oh, you get Yoda!
Oh, hey,
great news! Great news!
You get Yoda.
Yoda again?
Yep.
I don't think
hey, it's
that's
the wheel, man. I'm
yeah,
not...
let's spin it again.
All right. It's Yoda.
All right, Brittany. You ready?
I think so.
I'm 2/4 and a heart down, and I don't want to forget how your voice sounds. Those words are all I have, so I'll write them. So you need them just to get by.
What do you think there, Brett?
Stamp, stamp.
Yes!
Yes!
Nicely done. All right, I say we cut our losses and we find out if it's Albert, if it's Kaya, if it's Brittany, who's going to go see Fall Out Boy at the Hollywood Bowl Monday night, and also here at K-Rock on a Kevin and Bean private Fall Out Boy acoustic performance in the Red Bull Sound Space. Only one winner. Allie, who's it going
to
be?
We've got to have Kaya now.
Kaya! Yay! Congratulations, Kaya.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Enjoy the show. We'll see you at K-Rock. Thanks for playing the game.
It's the Wheel of Celebrities. The Wheel of Celebrities. It's the Wheel of Celebrities. Wheel of Celebrities.
Janky. I'd like to hear the entire showbiz as Yoda. Is that cool?
By the way, getting a lot of reaction, in particular to Allie's Elmo impression. Ben writes in on the Kevin and Bean Twitter account, at Kevin and Bean, Jesus Christ, it sounds like the devil is on reading lyrics. Manny wants to know, wow, was Elmo angry or something today?
Elmo identifies as Marge Simpson, so
yeah,
it was hard,
like
it was hard for him.
Enrico says the Janko celebrity voice bit was hilarious, but I absolutely just lost it at Allie's Elmo. Hashtag Murica. I don't know what that's about, but just that we're lucky we live in a country where you're not in prison right now for that impression, Allie. Maybe that's what they're suggesting. But
Janky!
I apologize to those with hearing. It was bad.
I was praying for deafness when I was listening. Let's not do any more Yankee celebrity impressions while Ralph is out, okay?
That's a great idea.
This is wait till Monday. He'll be back. In the meantime, though, Bobcat Goldthwait joins us, longtime friend of the Kevin and Bean Show, coming up just after 7 to talk about his fascinating new movie. First, though, time for the showbiz beat. Here's Alex.
Over the weekend, did you guys hear those Nirvana songs that leaked online?
I saw that they existed, bookmarked them to go back to, have not heard them yet.
Yeah, well, you won't because they've been pulled. So
what?
You can find them on certain sites, but they have been pulled. However, Billboard.com says that the Montage of Heck documentary, we had the director Brett Morgan in here to talk about it. Some of those songs will be released in November when the film comes out on DVD and Blu-ray as part of the soundtrack for the documentary.
Interesting.
So we'll see if that happens. But also included on the soundtrack is a comedy sketch from Kurt where he does all the voices. So following what we just hearing Kurt Cobain do it, it can't be worse.
Movie is not in the headlines as much anymore because it's been a couple of months. But if you did not make time for Montage of Heck and you at all are interested in Kurt Cobain,
Do yourself a favor and watch that movie. It is great.
Absolutely. So well done with the cartoons and the journal entries and everything. It was well
done.
And
so much footage, too. You know, so much early stuff, those early Nirvana gigs that were taped. I mean, it's just awesome that they were.
Remember when he was in? We're like, who was doing the voice of Kurt? He's like, that was Kurt,
all
you guys?
Kurt.
Did you pay attention to the documentary? Bean, you went to see the Grateful Dead up in San Francisco for the Fare Thee Well and
yes,
end of the road tour, right?
I sure did.
Because, well, they're done. Those
right.
were their last shows, San Francisco, and then the final shows at Chicago Soldier
Field. They
made
Field, a right? big point of announcing that.
Not
that's
doing
what, that's
any
what we were told
more
about.
Shows.
Yeah. Right.
Except Bob Weir and Mickey Hart are getting back together as Dead and Company for
what?
A show on Halloween at New York's Madison Square Garden.
Ha ha!
Jeez. However, no Phil Lesh. He will not be there.
I don't
there.
Know any of these
he's,
people.
He's the guitarist okay. and does some vocals. But who will be filling in for Phil Lesh is the question. Any idea, Kevin? I know you don't care, but just throw out some names. Guitar, vocals.
Guitar, vocals.
Maybe he was seen at the shows in Chicago.
Dick Poop.
Not Dick Poop. Good try, though.
Tom DeLonge. Is that correct?
It's not. But wow,
it's
him
not.
With the Dead.
Right?
Right?
That's what I'm saying.
Bean, do you have any idea or do you know?
I do know. I have been following this story, and I don't know whether I should be ticked off that they made such a big deal about the end of the Dead to then turn around and essentially put on another Dead show in a couple of months. But the great John Mayer is going to be filling in.
Indeed he will. It will be, of course, Bob Weir, Mickey Hart, and John Mayer up there as Dead and Company. John would be... Company.
Company.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm.
No?
That'd be a good show.
So when somebody says...
This will be it. This is it. And when I say this is it, it really means this is it. This is it. I mean, this is really it. This is the final... This is
right.
the final curtain call. This is it. And when I say this is it, it well, really means this is it.
Right. Okay. This is it.
Well,
look,
it
if we've learned anything from rock bands...
Yeah.
About farewell tours, it's that you should never believe that. I mean, The Who has been on a farewell tour for 40 years.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
Every Stones tour is the last tour ever until
true.
They come back in 6 months.
It's just the last tour because we might die. I think that's kind of,
I see.
It's implied.
They're not sure when they might.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's implied.
All right.
F*** hippies. I mean,
right?
period. F*** hippies.
But
I've been saying that my whole life.
Right?
I'll be saying it until I die. F*** hippies.
So if you want to head over to Madison Square Garden on Halloween, smell some patchouli, some Leave Me Alone cologne, just wafting through the air, that is where you're going to want to be. Also, farewell tour. I had no idea The View was still on. Did you guys know that?
The TV show?
It is still on.
I don't know.
Nicole Wallace, who was going to be replaced, but she was offered a role as a contributor on the show, has said, nah, not interested. So who's going to be the outspoken conservative? Which apparently Nicole Wallace wasn't enough of, therefore she was being replaced.
Okay.
The front runner, Full House star Candace Cameron Bure.
Oh, I can see that. That's consistent with her brand.
And when she filled in, she got into a little bit of a tiff with Raven Simone, which apparently made headlines. I'm reading here.
I'm so happy I never I'm so happy I never watched one episode of that show.
Hey, our little friend Bobcat, who's coming in next, he was just on The View last week.
Well, he can tell us about it, because the rest of the cast will include Whoopi Goldberg, Raven Simone, Michelle Collins, and GMA Weekend anchor Paula Faris. Who are these people, besides Whoopi?
They're the hosts of The View.
Did you know any of those people were on?
No.
No, those are pretty low-level celebrities.
No.
Dick Poop.
Not
I don't watch The View,
there.
But I'm a big fan of The Chew. Which comes on right after
it. You were tweeting about The Chew one
God.
Day. What is wrong with you?
That's the worst television show in history.
But it's got Mario Batali and he wears
my
Crocs.
God.
All right. All these birthdays, all these people were born today, hence making it their birthday
right.
today, August 6th. M. Night Shyamalan is 45. Or is he? Jerry Hollowell is 43. Vera Farmiga... 42, Melissa George, 39, Marissa Miller, 37, Charlotte McKinney, 22.
Do not break the bell.
Oh, sorry. Wow. Gonna need a new bell. I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
Bobcat Goldthwaite.
Yes, Bob Scratch Goldfarb. I'm more fascinated that you can't snap your
Same.
Fingers.
Same. This happened during that song. Bean can't snap his fingers.
And I pointed out that is... how you describe something as easy.
Right. I know that.
It's like snapping your fingers.
Guys, it's not that I haven't tried. Believe
that's
me.
That's even more fascinating to me is that you've tried.
I've sat down with people and I've had them show me where to put the fingers and how to move the fingers to make that sound, and it doesn't work on me. I don't know why.
That is the worst party ever. Right?
It is. And I also can't blow bubbles with bubblegum. I can't do that.
That was the joke that got me in trouble on Hollywood Squares.
What?
Not to date myself.
No.
They said the question was, how does Michael Jackson relax? And I said, he likes to blow bubbles.
Yeah.
It's corny. I mean,
sure.
Yeah. That's
a legit joke. Did they air that?
No, I don't think so. No. Because they would write out jokes that you're supposed to say.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They had your ad libs, you know, and whatever.
That's nice of them to provide your ad libs.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Bob, I'm glad to hear you can still be funny because I'm starting to worry about you with your movies, son.
Come on, this movie has laughs.
First, you did the alcoholic clown movie, Shakespeare's Clown.
Sure.
Then you tackled bestiality with the Sleeping Dogs Lie movie.
Sure.
Then, if I recall correctly, your world's greatest dad was autoerotic asphyxiation.
Yeah.
So I guess all that was left was
weren't you the terrorist guy?
Yeah,
with
there
the
was
bomb?
The spree killer comedy.
Right. Oh, right. Right. What was that called?
God Bless America.
God Bless America. That's right. I forgot about the mass
murder.
And
a scary Bigfoot movie in there, too.
You know that just because you put the word comedy on it doesn't make it a comedy, though, right?
But come on. They're comedies.
So Bob's new movie tackles the hilarious topic of child abuse, priest rape is basically what's going on here.
That's in there, too. But Barry was raped by his babysitter's... mother's boyfriend or something. It's vague who the guy was, but he was connected with the babysitter.
Right, I had never heard of Barry Crimmins. Give us some background on him.
Barry's a political satirist and was an influence on a lot of comedians or even got them their start. Folks like myself and Stephen Wright and Paula Poundstone. He started a club in Boston. And then there's folks either worked with or mentored or folks that were or just fans like Patton Oswalt, Mark Maron. These are all the folks that are in the movie.
David Cross.
Yeah. So and Margaret Cho. So Barry left his stamp on comedy, and he's still doing comedy. But why I was interested in making the story was that in the '90s, in the mid '90s, he had disclosed his rapes when he was four. On stage, by the way, there was a
those people need their money back.
Well, it was during a benefit. I think it was actually a little more awkward. There was a comedian who insisted on closing, and Barry's like, "You're not gonna want to go." He's like,
"I gotta follow me.
I gotta close," you know. And, so a guy went on after him. So
how about that airplane food? Really, just doesn't cut it after Crimmins has been up there, right?
Where's that sock going in the dryer? So Barry disclosed on stage and then in the process while he was trying to find other survivors, this is the beginning of the internet basically, you know, and AOL was allowing pedophiles to exchange child pornography, and he complained to AOL, he complained to the police and the feds, and nobody was doing anything. In the movie, the cops even say, we didn't have computers in our offices then. So
this was pre-World Wide Web, too, right?
It was just the startup of everything, you know.
Which is what, 90?
It was in the...
4 or 5?
Yeah. Okay. So he got all this evidence against AOL and took them to the floor of the Senate during a judiciary hearing and basically shamed them. It was a real Frank Capra story where it's, you know, this little guy against this giant corporation, and it happens in Washington.
To see him sitting next to AOL's lawyer or lead counsel or whatever that guy is,
great.
And just going back and forth is crazy. How did you get that?
Didn't even know you were going to have that footage,
Yeah,
right?
We were told that footage didn't exist. So we were really happy that our researcher found it. But it was – I was going to animate that part because I didn't because he's narrating that part of the story, and that's just this article he had written. And it's funny how much of it actually physically syncs up because I never let Barry see the movie until Sundance.
Is that right?
Yeah. And I did that with Robin, you know, he never it the movie premiered in the same theater that World's Greatest Dad did at Sundance. It was and Robin hadn't seen it either. So
How do these people who you make a movie about not want to see the movie?
Oh, they do, but I just, it's, you know, it's
well, you're an a-hole.
I'm like, it's still a little rough, you know, is what I say. So
it sounds like what you're saying, Bob, and again, this is Bobcat Goldthwait here on the Kevin Bean Show talking about his film available in select theaters tomorrow called Call Me Lucky.
It's a music hall here in Beverly Hills, and I'll be there, and then in Santa Ana, I'll be there on Sunday at the Frida. But yeah, so Call Me Lucky is the name of the movie, and we'll be doing Q&A. Barry and I.
It sounds Barry will be there too. That's great. It's fascinating that you have put the spotlight on somebody that many more of us should know because of how much of an impact he made on so many people, not just as you mentioned on all those comedians, but I mean this really is a case of a citizen going to Washington and making a difference. I mean really changing the way business is done.
Yeah.
It's pretty remarkable.
Well, he's a remarkable guy. You know, he'll try to downplay that. You know, he feels that he just did what everybody should do. But
Bob, why did he decide that night to go on stage and talk about sexual abuse? Well, it's not something he had spoken about before, right?
It was a benefit that was for about children, and so he felt that and that there were. It was also during the Rodney King riots, and he just felt that people were talking about children that were acting poorly, and so he just felt that, you know, you don't know why people act the way they do, and he explained his past, you know.
It's very heavy, obviously, just the subject in it, but for me, it's something I think everyone needs to see because it's going to start conversations, and you even brought it up in the movie. If he can go through it and survive it, the least we can do is watch it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, Barry says that in the movie. And yeah, it is. I hope, and I do find that the movie is uplifting and life reaffirming and all that stuff. That's not me tooting my own horn. That's just Barry's story.
No, I agree. It's just, it's a grim storyline because nobody wants to, I mean, my wife and I run a charity for abused women and children, and it's tough to talk about because it's such an ugly topic.
Yeah.
And you want to ignore it. You want to just pretend it doesn't happen.
And that's why I felt like, you know, if the movie works for people, the idea of smuggling some content and at the same time, I do think there is laughs in the movie. Some of the laughs are at my expense, like when I brought him back to his childhood home and I got it wrong. So he's out front. Yeah,
front
I'm outside my childhood home. I go, look to your left.
They changed everything.
He's like, that's not my house. And then it just cuts and we're in front of the right house. So.
Hey, Bob, who's interviewing you when you're the talking head in the movie?
That's such a great question because like, you know, 99% of the movie is 100% true, except that. That's one of the things that's not true. No one's interviewing me. And I'm sitting there looking all
serious.
So you
ask yourself questions in your head and then just answer them?
Yeah, yeah. I'm talking to a piece of tape on the side of the camera, and I'm acting all serious. No, that's a good question, Bobcat. You know, it's total bull. Yeah, so that and there's a couple other things that are a little bit cooked, but you know, Barry and I had some arguments making the movie, and one of them was the scene in the. It's not like a spoiler when he goes in the basement where these events happen.
Yeah, that was.
And he wanted to go in.
It's troubling.
And I was like, no.
He wanted to.
Well, because I was filming there because I wanted to just show these spaces, you know, and I didn't want to do corny reenactments that would be like on a television show. So
he's so tough to cast a kid for that anyway.
Well, that was, yeah, when I said that during a Q&A once, I go, I didn't want to do reenactments. He goes, you didn't want to do reenactments. he goes, I'd have to be in front of another hearing. Oh. So he said, look, I'm going down there. You can film it or not. And you go through a problem, not around it. And I'm not going to give this space any power. It's not magical. You know, I'm not going to make a shrine to a demon. And I said, give me 5 minutes. So I spun the cameras around. So it looks different than the rest of the movie. And I love my friend. And I was worried about his, you know, he did go into shock that day. And he said to me, because I don't know what I said in the basement. Is any of it usable? And I said, I don't know. I'm going to play Yakety Sax all through that.
That'll lighten any mood.
It does. You know, like, you know, I'm always the entertainer first. You know, I've got to. So people hear these kind of jokes and stuff, but that's the only way we could have made this movie. Is two people that love each other enough to make those kind of
jokes.
Was
it difficult to get him to agree to do this movie?
No, he you know, I originally was going to do it as a
as a narrative because I didn't want him to relive these events and have someone else play him. And I think I was actually thinking of it as a bigger picture, you know. And then for years, by the way, ever since he did that testimony, I've been saying this is a movie I want to make. And then, you know, so it was actually, you know, Robin Williams, my pal, and he said he knew Barry's story. He was a fan, and he knew that I was passionate about making this. And he said, you should make it as a documentary. And he actually even gave a little bit of the money that started the whole ball rolling. And that was just February 2014. So the movie came together really, really fast. Like, I was still shooting this time last year.
Wow. Well, you should be very proud of it, Bob. It's important work, and it's a very entertaining movie about a very difficult subject. And I think a lot of people will become fans of Mr. Crimmins when they see this film. It's called Call Me Lucky in select theaters tomorrow, including the Lemley Music Hall in Beverly Hills, also the Frida Cinema in Santa Ana. Can you stick around, Bob? We'll talk some more after this.
Oh, sure.
Be right back. Our old friend Bobcat Goldthwait in studio with us now on the Kevin and Bean Show. The documentary is called Call Me Lucky in theaters tomorrow, including the Lemley Music Hall in Beverly Hills and the Frida Cinema in Santa Ana. Bob, you're going to be where, when?
Friday night, Barry and I will be there, and Sunday I'll be at the Frida. So, yeah, come on out, and there'll be Q&As and stuff.
And that Barry is Barry Crimmins, who is the subject of the film Call Me Lucky that we have been talking about here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Bob, have you run into any problem with being Bobcat Goldthwait and throughout your directing career continuing to be taken seriously? Like, are there people who automatically will think they know what you're about or because of your name and won't take your movies seriously?
No, I mean, I don't know. The thing I encounter mostly is folks that are familiar with me or fans of me from the past, and they have no idea that I write and direct movies or that I'm a director, and that's okay. But like we were at a film festival in Detroit, and this guy's like, "I'm your biggest fan, you know? Can I?" And he wanted a picture, and I took a picture with him, and he goes, "What do you do now?" And I was standing out front of the poster for Call Me Lucky. So,
biggest fan.
Yeah, I mean, I don't expect people to IMDb. Can I tell you this story? I was walking down a plane, and there was this young guy, and he's watching God Bless America on his computer. And my ego, I'm like, I'm going to blow his mind. And I go, "Hi, I'm Bobcat Goldthwait. I wrote and directed that movie." And he goes, "I paid for it." That was the first thing the kid said.
So he thought you were trying to bust him for stealing your movie.
Yeah. And clearly he hadn't, if that's the first thing he said. And I wanted to go, "Dude, it's not on digital platform right now." I go, "Hey, it's cool, man. I'm just glad you're watching
it. I paid for it.
I paid for it." Like, I hate piracy that much. Burbank.
If you get nominated for an Academy Award for a documentary...
Yeah.
Can we call you that morning and have you on the air?
Oh, of course.
But you could. Look, that they have a category for documentaries. Why wouldn't you? Yeah. I mean, this movie is really, really good. Why not?
Well, thanks. The Police Academy Award, maybe.
You don't see that coming? It's not in the cards for you?
Well, no, I don't think in those terms. It's really nice that people are talking in those terms about the movie. But
this is the best reviewed film you've ever done, Bob.
Yeah,
legitimately, it is, right?
Yeah, well, don't forget don't begrudge my Bigfoot movie. That was that was the second highest rated horror picture on Rotten Tomatoes that year. So, but yeah, it has been getting really great reviews, and it's won a lot of awards too. So, you know, I'm a little bit easier promoting this because it's not, you know, normally I make a movie and it's like, this is how I see the world. Wah. this is a movie about Barry, and then it turns out something I didn't realize, that how universal this story is, that this kind of abuse affects all of us. You know, I really didn't see that coming, like at screenings where, you know, people coming up and disclosing to Barry and I, and I'm a bit of a misanthrope. I'm really not down with hugging, and and I truly have had to start hugging people.
Wow,
it's really funny. Like,
and that's because they get emotional about seeing the film.
And now I'm just like, yeah, I'm like, come to Papa, you know, and I'm hugging people, and it's just so it's ruined me. It's you know, Kimmel used to know that, so he would always send people to the you know, oh, go give Bobcat a big hug all day long.
He's great that way.
Yeah.
For folks who don't know, Bobcat was the director of the Jimmy Kimmel Live show for several seasons. So.
Yeah, I don't think ABC even knew that. I think he had to slide me in.
I love a guy like Mr. Crimmins, who I didn't know very much about before this. I love a guy who's only two objectives in the world are to overthrow the government and bring down the Catholic Church.
Yeah,
I mean, you need people like that in the world, right?
You know, and he says that kind of jokingly.
Yeah,
you
know, how much jokingly?
Yeah, not really. He's pretty tenacious.
Yeah,
he tweets the Pope every day trying to get excommunicated. I love the man, and he was a mentor to me, and he helped form me because I met him when I was 16, and Tom Kenny was 15 when we met him. Tom Kenny, who's SpongeBob SquarePants. I'm just going to be name dropping all morning.
I like that.
But I've known Tommy since I was 6 years old, and we saw an ad for.
You ever take you to the basement?
Jeez.
Back to you, Bob.
I hope you met like in a music way.
Sure.
like taking me to the bridge. So Tommy and I have known each other. We saw this ad looking for comedians. We answered it. You know, I'm sure Tom Kenny did the phone call because he could do voices. You know? It's like, hello, we're a couple of.
Now, were you comedians at that point? You're just
we're doing were like teens, you know, right? yeah, we were doing
just
like
making stuff up.
I was going on in front of bands and stuff, things like that. But we weren't really. And we answered this ad and he put us on stage and he said it was really funny because we'd be really snarky. We were really biting our comedy. He was really, you know, and then we'd get off stage and ask about how to get prom dates, which is 100% true.
And it's really funny in the movie, too, when I think it was Kenny's mom. Oh, Tom Kenny's mom was like, how old is this man that's calling you? Yeah. And he's like, I don't know, 60?
Yeah.
No idea.
We had no idea how old Barry was because he was always old, but he was only like 25 or 26, but... Barry's the kind of guy who came out of the womb smoking.
Well, it's a I'm sorry that we're out of time, Bob, but it is a fascinating documentary, and did excellent work on this,
my friend.
You really do. Super proud of you. I'm glad we all had a chance to see it, and I hope that our listeners will go see it, too. It's Call Me Lucky is the name of the film. Website is callmeluckymovie.com. See Bob and Barry and Beverly Hills, the Lemley Music Hall on Friday, right? And
correct,
then the Frida Cinema in Santa Ana on Sunday. And you're welcome anytime, Bob. Great to see you, sir.
Thanks, guys.
I cannot tell you how many times I have heard from Kevin and Bean listeners, but what do I do about getting more time with Beer Mug after the show? Well, I got some great news for you. Beer Mug is today going to be at the Brea Mall from 1 till 3 at the Hot Topic store there.
It's weird, Bean, that no one is contacting me about that.
Really? Everybody is asking me how to get more Beer Mug in their life.
Okay.
He is going to be laden down with tickets to upcoming K-Rock shows, including Foo Fighters, Social Distortion, Fall Out Boy, Rise Again, Slightly Stupid, all sorts of other K-Rock prizes. Don't forget the 2015 K-Rock Summer Sticker is out and is at all Southern California Hot Topic locations. You can fill out the back and enter to win a $500 Hot Topic gift card, a trip to see Muse in Mexico City, or a new car, a 2015 Dodge Challenger. But if you want to really go for it today, at the Brea Mall from 1 till 3 at the Hot Topic location, Beer Mug will be there, and you're invited.
We play a game off the air called Would You Click on This Link? If you see a headline, would you follow up on that and read about it or not? Here's the headline. Shirtless man claims to be Tarzan, tries swinging into monkey exhibit at OC Zoo.
Click.
Right? Click.
So
immediately.
Click.
Yeah, I think click. This happened Tuesday. Here's the news report, and we're going to get to some of the 911 call and listen to how calm the guy at the zoo is when he's trying to describe a shirtless guy that's covered in mud climbing trees trying to jump into some of the animals. It's awesome.
Well, now we're hearing the 911 calls from a bizarre incident at the Santa Ana Zoo. A man was swinging from the trees and claimed to be Tarzan. CBS 2 Orange County reporter Louisa Hodge shows us how it happened.
So he's swinging from the trees and yelling, I'm Tarzan.
Okay.
Right?
How awesome is that?
Sounds like a fun day at the zoo.
Zoo director Kent Yamaguchi is used to observing strange animal behavior at the Santa Ana Zoo.
Played in that tree for a bit, ran back over here, and hid behind the bamboo.
But what he witnessed swinging through the trees Tuesday morning surprised even him. No, not the monkeys. Try 36-year-old John William Rodeborn, otherwise known as Tarzan?
He climbed up into the tree and then proclaimed himself that he was Tarzan.
Well, that's strong, right?
They haven't mentioned
him being drunk or on drugs yet. I assume that's coming.
What, the guy can't genuinely think that he's Tarzan?
Well, that seems unlikely.
Dick. Fearing the man would hurt himself or others, zoo officials called 911, and even the dispatcher sounded surprised.
We have a gentleman who is appears to be under the influence of something and is climbing in our trees and jumping into animal exhibits.
Have you ever heard a more calm 911 call?
That is a surprise.
We appear to have a gentleman.
A gentleman?
Hey, hey, there's a guy in the trees that's kind of swinging back and forth above the gorillas. Is that a thing that maybe you should come out and take a look at?
He's a gentleman. And he seems to be maybe perhaps under the influence.
Oh, okay, wow.
The zookeeper was walking along this pathway here and noticed him in the bushes covered with mud. His shirt was off, and he was climbing in the trees.
Now, that's when they found him. Who knew how long this was going on before?
Right.
The guy's covered in mud, hiding in the bushes.
Wow.
This guy knows how to party.
He has more fun at the zoo than I have at the zoo, I'll tell you that.
It's true.
Is he in a tree now?
He's actually climbed up on a tree. He's in about 20-foot tall retaining wall.
Yeah, it's not a tree so much as it's a retaining wall that he's on now.
Over an exhibit, looking over where the monkeys are.
These are pictures of police taking the Tarzan trespasser into custody. Police say he was under the influence and in possession of methamphetamine.
Oh, there it
meantime,
is.
Back at the zoo, employees are trained for animals escaping the exhibits. But as for people trying to climb into the exhibits, this was a first.
Really? Was it?
Okay, I hate her. Let's be honest, that's a terrible report. But that guy's my hero.
Yeah. Oh,
not today, because today's in jail.
Yeah.
Then he was having a good time. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:52.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
By the way, nothing good has ever happened at 4:30 in the morning.
But a lot of good has. A lot of good happens.
It just happened.
I'm saying a lot of good happens at 4:30 in the morning. It's just this
He's
is.
Saying nothing
but you're responding.
You said nothing.
You
good.
Said that right. to his statement. That said, nothing good.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
What goes on in that pretty little head of yours, Kevin?
Like I know.
You are a delight.
Indeed. Hey, we have plenty of shows still to come here on the Kevin and Bean Show, including we'll talk to our friend Dan O'Toole from Fox Sports 1 after the top of the hour. Also, Robbie Madison joins us next hour. He's the guy that you saw the video of him out on his dirt bike on top of the water, surfing on a dirt bike. How does that happen? Robbie will explain. It's all coming up. First, though, in for Ralph Garman of the Showbiz Beat. Here's Alec.
Hey, guys. A lot of people know that tonight is Jon Stewart's last night as the host of The Daily Show after more than 16 years and nearly 2,600 episodes. But Comedy Central is keeping the finale plans a secret. However, we do have word that you need to extend your DVR recording. If you are planning on recording it, it does go a little long. So that's the worst when you're taping
that
a show.
The
then
worst.
You're like, oh!
Yep.
And then it goes into...
Or sporting events, something like
right?
that. Like UFC on Fox, that always goes long.
Yeah, so be sure if you are actually recording it to actually tape whatever is happening after The Daily Show so you can get it. And Trevor Noah, who is replacing Jon Stewart, will not start tomorrow, which a lot of people are like, what are they going to run? He is going to start on September the 28th. So we'll, I'm sure, be talking a lot about that as well. Something that Bean is very concerned about, which is Busta Rhymes.
Well,
Bean's concerned about Busta Rhymes?
Yeah.
I saw the headline, and I need the details.
Yeah. He saw the headlines of Busta Rhymes in a New York City jail after throwing muscle milk. What?
After what?
Throwing muscle milk. You know muscle milk. When you're working out and you just want to keep drinking and get more ripped, you drink the muscle milk, right?
Okay.
No?
Kevin, if you were a gym rat like me, you would know about muscle milk.
That's true.
You would know. Well, the rapper was working out at Steel Gym when he began arguing with another guy. Nothing around. You're not going to throw a weight at a guy, right?
True.
That would involve lifting a weight. So he threw the container of the power drink, muscle milk, striking the man. And he was then arrested for second-degree assault. He's been released on his own recognizance. However, his lawyer, Scott Lehman, says this is another attempt to take advantage of Busta's celebrity status. adding, when he steps up in it, I can't even get it out because it's so bad. I'm going to skip it.
All right, good.
Yeah. It was just bad.
Yeah.
But if you're going to take somebody's celebrity status and just throw it up a notch, you're going to go after Busta Rhymes, right?
I guess.
That's how you're going to make the headlines.
Yeah.
Not so much. Attention, ladies of Los Angeles, Donald Sterling has pulled the trigger on his divorce. They are now officially getting divorced. Him and
Shelly. I thought they'd been divorced for a long time.
A lot of people did because Shelly had actually prepared divorce documents last year. She even signed the papers, but then she pulled back. So a lot of people assumed they at least weren't together, but they are officially still married. But now he has filed for divorce docs in Los Angeles Superior Court just 2 weeks before they would have celebrated their 60th anniversary.
Wow.
Yeah.
How many people get divorced after 60 years?
Yeah, but they seem so in love.
Don't you get the idea that she should have done this 59 years ago?
Yes, I do. By the way, I don't remember who. I wish I could get credit, but somebody suggested that if Donald Sterling is not the next The Bachelor on ABC, then they don't know what they're doing.
Wouldn't you watch it, though?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. I'd be into that. Hey, Hulk Hogan, you up there?
I'm right here, brother.
We all know what happened with Hulk Hogan. The tapes released of him saying the N-word. Things are not going well for him.
Right.
But his daughter, Brooke, has stepped up. At first, she had written this poem about him. Listen, you guys don't know my dad. And it was very touching. Brooke has taken it a step farther now. Brooke has told Entertainment Tonight. She pulled the, my dad can't be racist. He has black friends. Card. My dad's best friends with Mr. T. He's best friends with Dennis Rodman. He's not a racist. Okay. All right. I'm listening. Until this part. This is something we have to put a stop to every day, because I'll be honest with you, I've had a black guy call me a honky, and I've been told that white people smell like bologna, and I don't take offense to it. I just laugh at it.
Okay.
So she's bigger than us, you guys. She just laughs when racism smacks her in the face and says, you're a honky, you smell like bologna. She's like, nope.
First of all, anyone who compares racism against whites to racism against blacks is an idiot. Second of all, we all know that white people smell like mayonnaise.
That's
not bologna.
Right? And now we're just adding things up that makes a great sandwich.
Do we smell like bologna as well?
Apparently, according to Brooke.
Such a bummer.
I knew we smelled like mayonnaise.
Right. Bologna, and we accepted that. We're okay with that.
Okay, fine. Bologna.
That's, you don't want to be sideswiped with that one.
Sideswiped with,
you know,
bologna?
I mean. Yeah.
Who wants that? I've seen that movie. Pretty good. Take this for what it's worth. It's out of the National Enquirer, but they're reporting that Tom Cruise will do anything to get his daughter Suri back into his life, including deciding to leave the Church of Scientology.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, he is enlisting the help of Lisa Marie Presley, who left the church, I believe, in 2012, and she is promising to spill a bunch of explosive secrets if they try to blackmail her pal Tom Cruise.
Now, help me with the context of this story. Why does he not have joint custody with Katie Holmes of Suri? Is he not allowed to see her?
Wouldn't you believe if this is how it goes, that since she's with Katie all the time and she is deemed a, what is it called? A submissive person, submersive person?
It's an enemy of Scientology.
It's an enemy of Scientology.
And you break all contact.
All contact.
So Tom's technically, according to the church, you think maybe not allowed to see them anymore.
Yes.
And he wants to continue to see his daughter because he's a human on the planet.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Again, that's from the National Enquirer, who, let's be honest, has broken some amazing stories.
No, they got a pretty decent track record.
Yeah. So we'll be watching that and see what happens. But
I can't imagine Tom ever giving up Scientology.
Me either. I feel like he was being groomed to run it.
Right.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll see if his...
I feel like that Mission Impossible crew he's got working for him, though, could probably steal Suri.
I think that's just a movie. It's not real life. He's
I don't know,
not
man. I saw
guy.
A documentary recently.
Uh-huh.
He was hanging on the side of a plane. It looked pretty real to me. That was
the new movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know that it's about you go into a desert and there's a ship somewhere and then you sign a huge check.
Right.
And if you don't, they'll kill you.
That's Scientology.
Yeah.
That is an ugly stereotype.
All right. These stars were all born on today, August the 6th. M. Night Shyamalan is 45. Singer Jerry Halliwell is 43. Actress Melissa George is 39. Actress Vera Farmiga is 42. Model Marissa Miller is 37. And for the grand finale, model Charlotte McKinney, she's 22. I'm Allie McCann for Ralph Garman. Welcome to Showbiz Beat.
We're going to talk to Dan O'Toole, anchor for Fox Sports, coming up in a couple of minutes here on K-Rock. First, though, we have been mentioning all day long today, and Allie has been advising you not to miss the final episode of Jon Stewart's The Daily Show, which airs tonight on Comedy Central. He's been doing that show for 16 years.
I know. That's impossible to believe.
It is. We used to have Jon on all the time, Allie, back in the beginning of The Daily Show and prior to The Daily Show, when he was just a comedian and an actor. And now he's become America's anchorman, really. Yeah. I mean, Kevin, I know you don't watch the news.
I don't.
Because you're a kid.
That's correct.
But you got time for Jon Stewart, right?
Absolutely.
They did a couple of things last night on the penultimate broadcast. One was they presented a retrospective, a clip retrospective called A Man Who Was on TV, which I just love. And they described Jon Stewart as a man who said words, played sound bites, and then said more words. Each moment captured on videotape via camera and the microphone pinned to his jacket. John, one correspondent, remarked, everyone that turned on this show saw you, except for that one summer when they saw a taller British you. Remember when John Oliver filled in last year when he was making a movie. So anyway, so they did the video. I don't know what they're going to do on tonight's episode, because last night they kind of did the retrospective video of clips from the show. And then last night he also had on his final guest, who was his longtime friend, Louis C.K., who, as always, was hilarious.
Thank you for being here.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm thrilled to be your last dude. Person. I came on behalf of comedy to say,
you're representing comedy.
I represent all comedy.
Uh-huh.
Just to say, you know, nice job.
Thank you, my friend.
Well done.
We and I started together. In fact, I have to tell you, so the other night I went down to the cellar, the comedy cellar where I started. Louis started in Boston.
Yeah.
And then came down to New York and started working the cellar.
That's right.
And
you're one of the first guys I ever saw there. You're like maybe the first or second comedian I ever saw
at the cellar.
Yeah. And you were so great. It was like, who's this little Jew? He's funny.
That was the original title of my act. Little Funny Jew. It was like a Fievel thing. Yeah. I would dress up in overalls.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, I'm going to miss watching you on this show. But I think the most reliable way to take a good thing and make it go bad is to hold on to it too long. That's really the thing.
I think that's right.
So you got to let it go. And also, it's really time to go. I was sad when I heard you were leaving, but then I thought also now there's going to be a new Jon Stewart show. That's why I got excited. I was like, now you're going to make something else. New.
And you know what else is nice? Because I know the machinery here. What's exciting to me about Trevor being able to do this is it gives people who like this show a chance to fall in love again.
Yeah, just see what else. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
well, because falling in love starts with who the f*** is this? That's where love.
Right.
Yes.
I'm so happy to see it.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like what's so nice about, you know, you and Quinn and Attell and Nick DiPaolo and, you know, Ray and all the guys, Laura Keilinger, there's a bond there.
Yeah.
And we don't see each other for 10 years, for 20, and it just falls back into place.
Well, you pick up right where you left off when you see each other. But I got to tell you, I mean, I'm really amazed by what you did here. It's really impressive that you did this show for this long and it kept it this good for this long.
Wow.
And you stayed with the world's events and you were a voice of reason and you were funny. It's really like one of the great comedy accomplishments of all time that you did.
Very nice.
Right.
Almost always uncomfortably deflate.
Yeah.
But when it's somebody that I love, that I respect, who says it, it means the world. So thank you.
People are throwing up right now.
I hope so.
People are going, oh,
right.
Stop it. Oh,
and,
God,
and
that's awful.
The real thing that I wanted to say is Louis and I are both dying. That's right. I thought I'd puncture it a little bit. At last.
Yes.
We'll both
be dead in a month.
But together, and that's the important thing.
Yeah.
Jon Stewart really has served such a valuable purpose. Even if you don't agree with him politically, the fact that he asks the questions that nobody else seems to ask and kind of points out the hypocrisy and points out the ridiculousness about politics and about the decisions that people make and things that people do, I don't know that there's anybody out there in that role.
role outside of Jon Stewart. Now, maybe Trevor Noah will turn out to be the same thing. Maybe he'll be our guy. But without Jon Stewart in the landscape, I don't know that anybody else is doing that. You know, the other shows, the comedy shows, the late night shows, you know, the Kimmels and Fallons and people like that, they're so gentle compared to Jon Stewart.
Yeah, true. He would go after people.
And go after people hard, you know, and really hold them accountable to the fire. And he gets those people on his show and goes, you know, goes face to face with them, which I love. So I do hope The Daily Show continues, and I hope they continue to get that done.
I think John Oliver does a great job.
He has a great show on HBO, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Last show tonight. Jon Stewart.
And then one day in the future when dirt bike surfing is an Olympic sport, Kevin, we're going to be able to say we talked to Robbie Madison, the first guy who ever did it.
Yep.
That's coming up in about 10 minutes or so here on the Kevin Abeen Show. First, though, there are lots of different ways that you can get in touch with us here at the Kevin Abeen Show. And we really do, although we ignore most of your remarks, we do really enjoy hearing from you.
Because if we took most of your remarks seriously, it would really hurt our feelings.
So and we would have been off the air a long time ago if we followed your suggestions, which is you suck, get off the air. Let me see. There's the Kevin Abeen Facebook page. We got that. You can always leave us messages there. We got the Kevin Abeen Twitter account, which is at Kevin Abeen. You can always call the Kevin Abeen Afro line at 323-520-AFRO. We don't mention this much, but you can also text us here at the Kevin Abeen Show and actually throughout the day at K-Rock, and that number is just 2-K-Rock. The number 2 and then K-Rock 5767 if you ever want to leave us a comment that way. Or the old-fashioned email. If you just want to send an email to Ali at K-Rock.com, Bean at K-Rock.com, Kevin at K-Rock.com, Ralph or whoever you're trying to get in touch with, that's another way to do it. And we got some great reaction to the stories that we had last week on the air from things that people believed when they were a child. I love this one from Jonah. She says, "Dear Kevin Abeen, I'm a podcast listener, so I'm always going to be late on anything that you guys talk about. And you may not even care by the time you get this, but here goes. As a child, I believed that the handicap symbol, you know, the stick figure on the wheelchair with the blue background, was meant for people who had an overactive bladder. I thought the picture was of a man sitting on a toilet. And that made sense to me because I always saw it on parking spots closest to the building entrances, and they were always empty. And I assumed it was there for people who needed to park
right away. So you really have to go.
Yes, they give you priority parking at the building so that you're close to the toilet. I thought, hey, the spaces are there for people to park, get out, go on, do their business, and get out with their lives. Plus, in bathrooms, there was always a large stall left empty, and I assumed it was just for people to get in, do their business, and get out. It really makes sense when you stop to think about it.
It does.
I guess if you're like 5, maybe it does. Here's another one on that topic. This is from Rachel. She says, "Stupid things that I believed when I was a kid. I have a bunch of them, Kevin Abeen, that the KKK really had tall, pointy cone heads under their hoods."
Be a good way to identify.
Wow!
Them, really.
Because you see their hats, and you feel like that must be what their heads are like too. I also believe that the second hand on a clock was a major misnomer because it's really the third hand. In other words, she looked at the two big hands and she thought, well, why do they call that one the second hand? It's really the third hand. She said she didn't figure out the reason it was called a second hand until high school. That it actually counts seconds.
Bean?
Yes.
Is her name Rachel Thinnis?
Yes.
Why?
Do you know her?
I went to high school with her.
No! Was she roundly mocked for not understanding how second hands work?
Did you explain it to her?
She's a really smart girl. She's still one of my very good friends.
Wow. Really?
Oh, my God.
Well, Rachel.
Not as smart as you thought, perhaps.
Well.
Rachel also believes, as many young people do, by the way, that the bands show up one right after another to line up and play their music live at the radio station. She actually was one of those people who thought that, you know, the Beatles were standing by to come on in 45 minutes. I also believe that if a toilet clogged and overflowed, it would just keep overflowing and wipe out all of humanity. This was due to the panicked screaming of my mother to my dad, "Get the plunger! The toilet's overflowing!" And finally, that all grown men had the same handwriting. When I was a little kid, I came to that conclusion because Santa's writing on my Christmas cards looked just like my dad's. So she felt that all old men had the same handwriting. How about that?
She's I'm glad she wrote a novel.
Yeah,
thanks, Rachel, nice. For taking the time.
Line's busy, so I'll just email you guys. This is on the topic of you missed major portions of your life. You forgot major portions of your life for an accident or whatever. I dated a guy who told me that when he was 9, something happened to him that put him in a coma. Mm. And when he woke up from the coma, all of his memories were gone. He had to learn to talk, eat, walk, everything from scratch.
Oh.
No bueno. Here's an email from Kevin Bean listener Laura. She was commenting on the conversation that we had about whether it's difficult for some guys to be in a submissive relationship with their lady in terms of they don't have quite the career, they're not making as much money, they're not wearing the pants in the family. And you were pointing out, Allie, that you think that's common for a lot of guys. They just don't, they don't like being in second place in that relationship. Laura writes in, good morning, party people. Hi, Allie. I work as a translator, and I do earn a better living than most people. I have to lie about my job on dates because some men don't like earning less than a woman. Once I had to throw a drink in a guy's face when he told me to stop working on a first date because I would be earning more and making him look like less of a man. Another guy left me at a cafe once he figured out that I earned twice as much as he did. That also insulted his ego. I've had a few guys tell me that it would make them less of a man if they were with somebody who's providing a better living for their family. Even after I explain that I'm not rich, I'm also paying off massive student loans, my parents' house, and supporting my grandparents back in Mexico. Some guys, especially in the Hispanic culture, do not tolerate a woman working at all. They want a stay-at-home wife or someone that, once the kids arrive, will stay home. They want a quote-unquote traditional family structure. That's probably what they grew up with. Usually, if they grew up with a working mom or both parents working or a single mom, they tend to be respectful and encouraging of women earning more or a more successful career, but that's not everyone. Love you guys, Laura. P.S. Fire beer mug. Can you imagine on a first date some guy saying, well, you better quit your job?
2015.
It would make it easy. It would make an easy decision just to go, okay, yeah, peace out.
Dodge the bullet early.
And this comes from Wes. Holy hell. Anything that starts holy hell, I love. And what I love about the podcast listening, a podcast listener, he says, is that we get slapped around when we do things.
Uh-huh.
And then when the podcast listeners eventually hear it, then we get slapped, yeah, around again. So that's fun. Currently listening to Bean explain how the guy who wants ponies for everyone might not have thought the idea through. And then waste like 5 minutes explaining why in excruciating detail.
All right, here's the...
Shut the F up.
What's this listener's name?
Wes.
Here's the clip Wes is talking about that we played at the beginning of yesterday's show.
Do you still stand by your pledge made in 2008 to provide a pony for every American?
Yes, I do, sir. Free ponies for all Americans, one of the overlooked issues in America today. My free pony platform is, of course, a jobs creation program. It will create lots and lots of jobs once we switch over to a pony-based economy.
Now, that's the great Vermin Supreme, who was running for president last time around. And my only point was that it sounds
he
like...
He doesn't need further...
It sounds like a great idea on, right, the surface because everyone wants a pony.
But don't do it again, Bean.
Until you need places to put all those ponies. Until you need to manufacture that much hay.
Wes's complaint is that you explained it the first time.
And what about all the veterinarians? Imagine how many veterinarians you would have to have to take care of all. If we had hundreds of millions of ponies around, what would you have to? How would you take it? Who would clean up the poop for all of those ponies up and down all the streets? What do you do about the people living in apartments? I'm just saying, it's not a very well thought out plan.
Shut your mouth and shut it and shut up and shut up!
Has this ever happened to you, Kevin? You've had like a great idea, $1 million idea, life-changing idea, and you thought, I'm so going to do that, and then somebody swoops in and just does it like right out from under you?
No, that's never happened to me, Bean. Has it happened to you?
As a matter of fact, Kevin, this weekend I was thinking, why can't I combine my love and talent for freestyle motocross with my love of the ocean? Why can't I go out there and ride a motorcycle on the water? And I was just thinking about doing that next weekend.
Yeah.
That stupid Robbie Madison, he does it. He breaks the internet with his video called Pipe Dream that you can see at RobbieMadison.com or at KROQ.com. And we welcome Mr. Madison to the Kevin Beach on KROQ right now. Hey, Robbie, how are you?
Good, thanks, guys. Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us. You are incredible. Before we talk about the recent events in Tahiti, just tell folks a little bit about you, some of the sorts of things that you've done in the past.
I think the most notable thing is I doubled James Bond recently in the latest film, Skyfall, did all the motorbike scenes for him. And then I've been a Red Bull athlete and done the Red Bull X Fighters for some years and competed on X Games and stuff like that. So I'm one of those guys.
And you've been a surfer your whole life.
I have, yeah. I grew up surfing on the east coast of Australia as a kid and moved out to the U.S. 10 years ago, and I've missed the ocean, and it's been calling my name, and it finally got me back.
Now, Robbie, let me ask you a question about the beginning of this. When you thought, hey, I should combine my love of motorcycles in the ocean, why didn't you follow that up with, no, that would be stupid, it wouldn't work?
I don't know. I just... you know, in this day and age, you got to follow your heart. And I don't know why I got so fixated on it, but it was just, an idea that I couldn't let go, and I wanted to try it. And luckily, the folks down at Lake Elsinore, at the city there, are just so cool, and they let me practice this in the channel, and I proved that it could work, and then it was only a matter of time I had to take it to the ocean.
What were the early attempts like when you first started putting a bike into the water? I would imagine you sunk the first few times you tried it just while you were trying to get the thing going, right?
Yeah, that was so interesting. The very first time I came down and hit the water and lost control and went flying back up onto the land and nearly took my wife and all my mechanic and everyone else out. But shortly after that first attempt, we realized we added more surface area and we got it working within the second day. And
wow.
And from there, it's been up, had a lot of ups and downs. It's taken me down a couple of times, but managed to get it consistent.
What do you call what you put under the wheels on the bike when you take it into the water? Are they skis or paddles? What do you refer to them as?
Yeah, I mean, I got two sets of skis, one under the front, one under the rear, and then giant paddle tire that's custom made just on the back.
I have so many questions. I don't know. Because when you watch it, you're literally surfing on a motorcycle, and it just seems like no matter what you put on there,
it'd be too much weight or something.
It just wouldn't work.
Yeah, there's a lot going on there. I think the main thing for me that was important, I just didn't want to get the backlash of people, you know, being having a point to say about, you know, harming the environment or wrecking the ocean or damaging animals or anything like that. So we went above and beyond to make sure the bike was totally sealed. The only thing that could happen when the bike went in the water is the water could get into the engine. There was no chance of gasoline or oil getting out. So that was a good thing and something to, you know, have a free conscience moving forward with. But, yeah, there's a lot going on. And when I got to the waves, it definitely got tricky. You know, I got out in front of the wave thinking I could ride across in front of it like I was doing on the jet ski, and that totally didn't work. So there's a lot of things that I thought were going to happen that didn't, and things that I thought would be easy that weren't, and things that I thought that would be hard that managed to just fall into place.
You changed to a smaller bike, right, so that you didn't have so much repair when it hit the...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we were using the latest, you know, 450 motocrosser, which is a beautiful motorcycle, but far too expensive to be playing around with an idea like that. So we went back to the kind of earlier models, the prehistoric kind of two strokes, which are a little bit backdated now, but a lot simpler and way easier to work on.
Now, you mentioned your wife earlier. What was her response when you said, "Honey, I'm thinking of doing this"?
Luckily, we've been together for 10 years. She knows how weird and wild I am, and she actually likes me for who I am and not what I do, so it's all good.
So she probably just, all right, fine.
Go ahead, whatever.
You know how it goes.
Yeah, she loved it. She loved it. I have the world record for the longest jump on a motorcycle, and that comes with all kinds of crazy risks. And she thought, water's a lot softer, and she used to be a professional wakeboarder, so she's familiar with the waterside background. So she actually had a lot of good input that made this thing work.
That's nice. Great. This is the voice of Robbie Madison's here on the Kevin DeBeach Show. He's a professional freestyle motocross rider. We're talking about his video that's all... It blew up the internet over the past few days. It's called Pipe Dream. See it at Robbie's site or at krock.com. Had anyone ever attempted anything like this before you did, Robbie?
Yeah, there has been. You know, there's... Back when I was a kid, the Crusty Demons of Dirt was huge videos, and a friend of mine, Brian Manley, has seen one of the early ones where he rides across the water, and that right there, I remember as a kid watching that, I couldn't believe it. And so that definitely was an inspiration for me. But there's been guys in the past, you know, I've seen guys on like Top Gear try to ride motorcycles on the water, and you know, the Nitro Circus guys tried it. And a lot of people have definitely played with the concept, but no one's thought to add the second ski on there. And it wasn't until I really got into this that I started going around and researching, looking for other people who had tried it, because I thought, hang on, I had the same idea. Is someone else doing this? You know, are the guys at K-Rock actually really going to do this after me? So I just wanted to make sure that no one else was onto it. And I couldn't find anyone that was playing with the idea. I'd seen that people had played with the one ski. And, but yeah, I definitely took it to the next level. And I was just hoping. I really wanted to get it out before any much time passed, because I just thought it's only a matter of time before someone hears about this, sees about it, or comes up with the same concept and beats me to the punch.
Right. How solid is it? Can you go out and do it every time, or is it still very risky?
It's pretty good. It's definitely condition conscious. You know, if it's too windy or too rough, it's probably not going to work the best. But
now that it's to this stage and it has this much popularity, it's such a great thing for me because I can talk about it without being laughed at or taken as a fool. So hopefully in the next couple of weeks I can get the couple of changes done to it to make it more consistent. I know exactly what it needs, and I'm looking forward to giving it what it needs so I can go out there and get that barrel that I've been looking for.
Amazing. All right, we're almost out of time here, Robbie. I have to ask this. So you're out in Tahiti where you filmed this Pipe Dream video. That wave, how big was that wave that basically swallowed you up, but yet you still somehow managed to stay up on the bike?
Well, I can confidently say the face of it was 20 feet. I don't know how the surfers measure it, it was a big one. It definitely held me down for a long time, and I'm just so glad that the guys at DC Shoes had the safety crew in place, and Ray Mana, who's a legendary surfer from Tahiti, he had all his guys on point, and it had to be somewhere between 15 to 20 feet tall for sure.
Unbelievable. I mean, when that wave comes down on you, you're missing from the frame for a minute, and I'm like, is he ever coming back up? And then you just come riding right out of it. I mean, it's just amazing. Although I will say that if I had been there on the crew and you had gotten back to the boat, I would have told you, oh, we didn't film that one, mate.
Just to be funny.
Just to be funny, yeah, just as a joke. Unbelievable. It sounds like you worked on this for a long time, and it just must feel so good to have it done and have it out there. And, you know, you've done so many incredible things in your career, but this video is something I think you're always going to look back on and just smile about.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I'm blessed, and I can't wait for the behind the scenes to come out. There's a great story to be told here, and the last scene there where looks like I come out, I don't really come out. There's a lot. I go down there for about 4 minutes. We go missing. It's a massive panic, but I make it back. So it's definitely the behind the scenes is going to be a very cool story. I can't wait to see it.
Can't wait as well. Pipe Dream is the name of the video if you want to check it out at RobbieMadison.com, or we put it up at KRock.com as well. Robbie, thanks so much for the time. We enjoyed talking to you, sir.
Cheers, guys. I'm best.
It is 8:52.
Kevin Amin, hip-hop correspondent Jensen Karp, joins us right after the top of the hour, although you've already deemed him our beef correspondent as well, Kevin.
He's every correspondent that we need.
That's right. He's going to be bringing us up to date with the very latest on the Drake Meek Mill fiasco, which, by the way, Drake is winning about 143-1 at this point. In other showbiz news, though, here's Allie in for Ralph. What's going on?
Hey, guys. We all know Shrek is that lovable Scottish ogre made famous by Mike Myers,
sure,
right?
Sure, yes.
A lot of people may not know that the original Shrek was Chris Farley, but he passed away in the middle of voicing the character. A lot of people don't know that, but...
Oh, so he was already doing some of it?
He was already doing it, and we actually have some footage of him as the voice of Shrek that just came out this week. So
now,
here,
this isn't a comedy setup for you doing Yoda, is it?
No, not at all. This
really is Chris Farley.
Chris,
okay,
Farley as Shrek in 1997.
And he's doing it with Eddie Murphy?
Yes, right? Okay, as the donkey.
Farquaad said he'd give me my own swamp in exchange for the princess.
You really think you can trust that Weasley oil rag, don't you?
Yeah, right. But now I'm going to have what he wants.
Boy, has he underestimated you.
Yeah, he can join the club. People see me and they go, "Bah! Help! A big, stupid, stinky, smelly, ugly ogre! I'm so scared!" They judge me before they even know me.
That's super interesting to hear that, because we're so used to Mike Myers.
Right?
But he would have been fine.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
his brother Kevin says that the Shrek character was a little more like Chris originally, like a humble, bumbling, innocent guy. So
interesting. That clip also makes me miss Eddie Murphy.
Yeah.
Like, I wish he would work more.
He's still alive.
I mean, he doesn't work that much anymore. You don't get a chance
He came out on Saturday Night Live and waved.
Yeah,
he did do that.
Riveting.
That
riveting
happened.
Stuff. Yeah.
By the way, you mentioned Chris's brother, Kevin. He joins us Monday on the Kevin Amin Show here, talking about the Chris Farley documentary that's out.
Absolutely. That he, I believe, not only appears in, but executive produced.
Fantastic.
I am Chris Farley. So we'll talk to him on Monday. Hopefully he'll have some more amazing tidbits like that. But, wow, how much different would Shrek have been?
Yeah, very. Very.
And not supposed to be Scottish, but Mike Myers made him Scottish. Scottish ogre! You guys!
Right.
All right, moving on. Tonight, big, big night for television. Not just like we've been talking about all morning, Jon Stewart's Last Daily Show, which again, set your DVRs for extra time. It's supposed to run late. But it is also the first primetime GOP debate on Fox News Channel. Kevin?
I can't wait.
I know.
I have not wanted to watch a debate in years and years and years, but this has Donald Trump.
Especially the first one. No one really watches the first one because it's a bunch of randoms that aren't even going to make it. But they're going to have an early debate at, I believe, 5 p.m. That's with, no offense, but kind of the B-team
The
guys.
B-team?
Yeah, the Rick Perrys, the Santorums. But the primetime debate with Donald Trump, Jeb Bush, Huckabee, Carson Cruz, Rand Paul, Chris Christie, that one is going to be in prime time.
Let me tell you, I'm a really smart guy.
Yeah.
I hope we get a lot of that tonight.
And don't you think, we were talking about this off the air, don't you think this is going to be one of those times where everyone knows that Donald Trump is going to be the main story?
Yep.
So this is where every one of those other guys steps up and tries to almost out-Trump Trump,
They're
right?
going to take their shots, yeah.
Oh,
it's going to be great.
It's going to be so good.
Part of the beauty of me is that I'm very rich.
All right.
It's pretty beautiful. Donald Trump was on Good Morning America where he said, I don't want to attack anybody. Maybe I'll be attacked and maybe not. I'd rather just discuss the issues, but certainly I don't want to attack. But if I am attacked, I have to do something back. But I'd like it to be very civil. So basically flip-flopping three times in one quote.
I love it.
And I respect him for that. I cannot wait for tonight. It's a bummer, again, like we mentioned, that tonight is Jon Stewart's last night. We're going to miss hearing him talking about things just like this debate.
I am really proud. Right. I am really honored.
All right.
I understand that. Mariah Carey yesterday received her star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. But she also got a guest starring gig on the new season of Fox's Empire.
Yay!
Yes! This was announced by Empire's creator Lee Daniels. He announced the gig while introducing Mariah yesterday when she was getting her star. Like,
that's pretty cool.
And by the way, she's going to be on my hit show, which is awesome. They have worked together in The Butler and in the movie Precious, but no word on what her role will be or how she might interact with the show star, Cookie Lyon. Don't you think they're a definite diva off?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Right? No question Absolutely. About that.
What do you think of Mariah Carey as an actress, Allie?
I think she's pretty good.
I do, too.
Yeah.
I think she's been surprisingly good in both of the other Lee Daniels movie roles.
Absolutely.
But she's a little crazy, right?
So we oh, might... I think she's a lot.
Okay, good.
Crazy.
Good.
Yeah. So
that, when does that come back? Do we know?
In the fall.
In the fall,
yeah.
Fall.
Yeah. Okay. Ugh, I can't wait. Also can't wait for this because I know how ridiculously excited this made Bean this morning. Archie Comics is headed to Broadway.
I'm in.
Where are the kids? Don't they like that?
The kids do
love
not
Archie.
Like Broadway.
There they are.
The kids love Archie. Are you kidding me?
Kids love Archie. And
don't you feel that Kevin is our Jughead? I do.
Absolutely.
If I knew what that meant, I might be offended.
I don't really know either. I think Jughead is the lovable, you know, oaf kind of guy, right?
All right.
Hence yeah, he is.
The name Jughead.
Hmm. Right.
Hmm. You're our Jughead.
All right. And Chip, you're our moose.
Chip, you're our moose.
I have no idea either.
I don't either, but you're our moose, Chip. Moose Chip.
All right.
All right, moving on. You might be saying to yourself, well, Archie Comics, why would I ever want to see that come to life on Broadway? What if I told you that Anchorman and Talladega Nights co-writer and director Adam McKay is working with the gang over at Funny or Die to make this a reality?
Now I'm in.
I'm in, right?
I wasn't in before. I didn't really care, but Adam McKay's a genius. So.
Adam McKay could make Family Circus on Broadway. Look, no?
Chip's
saying no.
I mean, that's it's a stretch.
It's a stretch, yeah. But that's how good,
he is good
Adam McKay is, I think. All right, and finally, some sad, sad news for everybody that knows that The View is still a thing and that it's still on. Nicole Wallace, who was kind of their right-leaning person on The View, was told she would no longer be on, but offered a role as a contributor on the show. She has since said, no thanks. I see that as a step down. I'm not into it. So now the front runner for that outspoken conservative panelist, none other than Full House and soon to be Fuller House star, Candace Cameron Bure.
Okay.
What do you think of that?
I'm not aware of.
I think people want to hear their politics from actors. That's what I think.
I have said that for years. The more I could hear about what your stance is and how it should affect me from an actor.
Look, you were on a sitcom in the 80s, so I need to listen to you.
Absolutely.
We're actors. If we didn't exist, how would people know who to vote for?
This is a TV show that's saying, don't watch me.
Yeah.
That's
for a while it's been saying that.
Yeah, it's been now saying that.
Like, wait, you're still watching? What if we do this? Wait, still? Yeah. All right. All these stars were born on today, August the 6th. M. Night Shyamalan is 45. Singer Jerry Halliwell, 43. Vera Farmiga,
40. By the way, for folks who don't know, that's Ginger Spice, you guys.
Right.
Jerry Halliwell.
Right.
All right. There was no mention of that. I just want to make sure that Spice Girl's getting the credit.
Take it easy.
I think everyone knows that Ginger was Jerry.
Okay.
And Jerry was Ginger. Perhaps even the same time, the same person at all times. Melissa George is 39. Marissa Miller is 37. Charlotte McKinney is 22. And keep that bell going because, friend of the show, amazing actress, beautiful human being, it is also Maren Dungey's birthday. Happy birthday. No kidding. Yeah, and,
Where was that all day long?
I'm starting to think Lightning is in charge of this list.
Because he hates her.
They had the weird beef and nobody really knew what that was all about. Why? It's a crime that she is not on this list.
So it's a crime.
Right?
Not my fault.
Okay, I don't believe that, Dave. Maren Dungey, happy birthday. Allie McKay in for Ralph Garman. Welcome to Showbiz Beat.
It was just last week that we had our friend Jensen Karp in studio breaking down for us the gathering of the Juggalos that the Insane Clown Posse puts on every year. I shouldn't have had trouble saying those words. Why do we go to Jensen? Because he's our hip-hop correspondent. He is back with a Twitter beef update for us. Hit it, Steve.
Jensen Karp, your flow is so tight. You rock the mic right. I can't believe you're white. Jensen Karp, come on, blow up the spot. The world famous K-Rock. Let's talk hip-hop.
Jensen, welcome back to the show, my friend. How are you?
I'm well. I also accept beef correspondent. That is also a second title I'm taking on for the show, just so it's out there and explained.
I feel like you could be our correspondent for anything that we don't understand.
Listen, I'll also take that, but right now I'm very comfortable with beef correspondent.
Beef correspondent, all right.
But look, you're also a white guy. Why are you so much more in tune with this than we are?
I have been a rap fan. This is something that I have been passionate about since I was in second grade. I for some reason, when something happens in hip-hop, I seem to know everything about it because it's just like a huge interest of mine.
Right, you got the antenna up. All right, now when you were here last week, the Drake-Meek Mill beef had just begun. Now, a lot of people know Drake. He's been very popular for a long time. He's guested on a million records. He's had his own huge hit albums. He's written a lot of songs for other people. Meek Mill has had a couple of hits not as well known. It almost seems like it's not a fair fight at the beginning, Jensen.
Well, it's almost apples and oranges if you are a hip-hop fan, because you have Drake on one side who's sort of this, you know, he wears a lot of sweaters and drinks wine in photos. He's what you would consider a soft R&B rapper to a lot of people. I don't believe that. I'm a huge Drake fan. But in that world, he's sort of seen almost as pop. Meek Mill, on the other hand, who just got out of jail last year, is a street rapper from mixtapes and battles, and this is supposed to be someone who takes the craft a little more serious towards street raps and violence, and a little more about, you know, like the CNN streets is what they call it, you know, the CNN for the streets.
Okay, so who fired the first shot?
Well, you could go back. I mean, it depends on where you see it. You could go back into August when Nicki Minaj released that Anaconda video of 2014 where she gave him a lap dance at the end of the video. I don't know if you remember it. If not, you should look it up. There are a lot of great GIFs. A lot of great GIFs online of it. And so that sort of happened in, I think, right around April. In December, when Meek Mill got out of jail, the Nicki Minaj rumors of dating started. So you kind of knew immediately that this could become a very strange love triangle very fast. And it did. So basically, these guys have had no beef before. They're in two camps that are near each other, which is Maybach Music, which is Rick Ross's camp. And then you have Drake, who's Young Money, who's an OVO, which is part of sort of Birdman and Lil Wayne's camp. So they shouldn't have any problems. So much so that they did a song together called P.I.C.O. for Meek Mill's album. And you would assume everything's fine, right? Nothing seems
crazy.
Well,
I would think, wow, Drake did him a solid by doing that, right?
That's definitely a solid. And so what ends up happening is song comes out. A lot of people think it's the best song on Meek's album. And then immediately out of nowhere, on July 21st, Meek Mill tweets, "Stop comparing Drake to me. He don't write his own raps. That's why he ain't tweet my album, because we found out." So basically, he's saying out of nowhere that he's mad at Drake because Drake had someone else write the verse that he paid for to be on his album, and that just sort of sparked off everything.
Now, that's bizarre, right?
Very weird. Not only that, it doesn't seem like a huge deal to me, and I said this last time I was in, which is like people like Dr. Dre and Jay-Z have openly in the past been exposed for having a ghostwriter. It's not, you know, it's sort of an unspoken issue in hip hop. Like if you're looking for it to be true to this person, that's not always going to be the case because they're getting other people to write their stuff.
Okay, so he says that on Twitter, and Drake
it goes viral.
And Drake responds musically, right? He responds by calling Meek out in some songs.
Yes, at first Drake sort of doesn't really address anything at first. He does one thing on Instagram where he just says, "I signed up for greatness. This comes with it," which is like something I want to get tattooed across my back at this point. and so then Drake on July 27th puts out a song called "Charged Up," which is a diss song back to Meek. And it's I love it. I think it's great. I'm honored you would think this is staged. I'm flattered, man. In fact, I'm amazed, which is a line from it. He just sort of cuts down on him, and it's a really good song. And so Meek responds pretty quickly on Twitter by just saying "baby lotion soft," and then saying, "I can tell he wrote that one though." So now it's starting to heat up. You know, it's not Tupac and Biggie necessarily, but we're starting to see some back and forth. And you assume Meek Mill's going to release a song pretty quickly thereafter. Days pass, and we hear nothing from Meek.
Okay. Now, that was weird, right?
Very weird. You cannot do that in hip-hop. This is not, you know, you don't think over your battles. This is a boxing match of sorts, and you're supposed to fight back, and he doesn't. And so Drake takes it one step further and ends up putting out his own second song called "Back to Back," which is again a loving song. It's so mean to him. Is it a world tour or is it your girls tour? He raps, which is referencing that Meek Mill has been opening for Nicki Minaj recently. So it's just over and over going at him. And so again, silence from Meek.
Okay, so a roundhouse punch from Drake. Now it's two diss raps from Drake and nothing from Meek. We wait, and then finally Meek comes out, and it's weak as crap, right?
Yes, it is not good. It's July 31st. Meek Mill puts out a song called "Wanna Know," which I don't want to know anything about it anymore. It's him yelling, and it's not good. And the beat, it samples the Undertaker's theme song from WWE.
WWE was mad at him.
Yeah, it's not good, and immediately Drake posts an Instagram picture of him just laughing at his iPhone. and so I've never seen it. This happens very rarely in hip-hop. It happened to a guy named Lil Flip when he took on T.I. It happened over the years sort of with this cannabis LL Cool J battle. It seems like one person is just being sort of flushed out of the scene, so much so that this past weekend Drake put on his yearly annual festival OVO in Toronto and opened with the two diss songs back to back, and behind him during each song played a different meme that he found online making fun of Meek Mill.
Now,
stunning.
It's not over though.
No. This
that's fascinating to me.
Yeah, this will continue to go because Meek Mill still has not released another song, but Drake at that OVO Fest did three lines or four lines to what you could only assume is a song called "Threepeat," which I think he will put out again before Meek gets to respond again. I mean, this is going to be a battle. I mean, and truth is, you know, Meek Mill went on stage just a couple days ago for his concert with Nicki Minaj and already said, you know, it was so nerdy. He said he's going to give him a wedgie if he sees him.
He did. He threatened a wedgie.
Yeah,
okay, are Biggie and Tupac not sitting somewhere together just laughing their butts off?
Yeah, I mean, I doubt they would say butts.
Yeah,
but,
well, exactly.
But I do think this is not, you know, either they're in the Bahamas or they're rolling over in their grave. This is not a normal hip-hop battle. But Drake is very spirited, and this is something hip-hop-wise that you can celebrate a little bit, yeah. Oh.
So, Jensen, Meek Mill clearly is losing in the court of public opinion. Black Twitter has turned on him and just mocked him nonstop since his first week. I mean, can he recover from something like this? Do you think he is talented enough to come back and make a statement and get back in the game?
My personal opinion is no. This is one of those things that will follow him. But then again, Rick Ross, who is his mentor and his label owner in these things, Rick Ross was outed as a former correctional officer. It's not a lie. His job was he was a policeman, and every rap he's ever released talks about how much weight he's pushed and how many people he's killed. When he was exposed, I would have told you that's over. His career is over. He could just go, you know, sell insurance. And then next thing you know, Rick Ross is on top of the world. So hip-hop has become this weird cinematic thing where people can come up and down, and I don't know how much realism is important. And everyone likes a comeback story, but this Meek Mill thing, he's just got to release the music.
Is it possible he's doing this to get the public opinion? Is it possible that he just needs
his name out there.
He's a popular guy. I mean, I don't know if he's ever going to try to make pop music. I mean, he's not that kind of, I mean, if you like the way Meek Mill raps, you'll like the way Bobcat Goldthwait does comedy. Like, he just screams it at you. And that's a certain style for Meek Mill, and I don't think that there's a real pop lane for him. So I don't know why this, and in hip-hop, good, all publicity is not good publicity.
Right.
I just love that it's
the WWE is really what it is. I mean, we've got characters, and then we've got their hangers-on, and we've got their posse and everything like that, and costumes and everything else. I mean, it really kind of is hilarious.
Oh, my God. They have catchphrases, certain ad-libs in hip-hop now where, French Montana does this sort of grunting thing. I mean, it's so much hip-hop. That's WWE. That it's almost like, do you smell what The Rock is cooking? They're waiting for people to say certain things, and it's a big show at this point. And this one has been pretty much the best battle we've seen in a few years, even though it's just one person hitting a man while he's down.
Yeah, it was over with the first song, with the first diss song, pretty much.
Yeah, and Meek has tried to, along with Funk Flex in New York, has tried to expose this Quentin Miller, who's supposedly the rapper, who's the ghostwriter, and it just doesn't seem like the world cares.
Well, it's very entertaining, and I guess we'll just wait for the next episode. Drake versus Meek Mill. That was okay, Allie.
I know
you're mocking. That was a legitimate pull. Come on.
All right.
We appreciate you laying us out for it. He is our hip hop correspondent. By the way, follow him on Twitter at Jensen Clan. That's with a C. Jensen Clan 88. And if you're in Los Angeles, be sure to stop by the Gallery 1988 as well. Jensen does great work. We appreciate the time. Thanks for coming on.
Beef correspondent out.
106.7 K Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:41.
And I want to say happy birthday to Kelly. She's the blonde one. Mm-hmm. She turned 15 today.
Oh, well, the blonde one. Okay. All right. Thank you, Rodney. We do birthdays actually at the end of the Showbiz Beat. And with that in for Ralph Garman, here's Allie McKay. You okay?
Yeah.
That was a great birthday shout-out.
That was real good. How old was she?
15.
She was 15. Okay.
She might look older, though.
Yeah, possibly. Some breaking news for you guys.
And now, breaking news bulletin.
Always funny. Yesterday, there was a surprise 44th birthday party for Justin Theroux. He would be Jennifer Aniston's boyfriend at their Bel Air mansion. But the more than 70 guests actually were there for a wedding.
Yay!
Jennifer Aniston is now a married woman.
How about that? A lot
How
of people thought that
it?
Would never happen.
Oh, I'm so happy.
Here's why I'm happy about it. Mm-hmm. Because we didn't have to hear about her wedding for
right?
16 months right? nonstop. They just did it.
Snuck it in.
Love
and
it.
Apparently people were seeing, and by people, paparazzi, seeing puppet-type cakes. A massive cake with puppets of both her and Justin on the top of it. They're like, well, that seems odd. But what really tipped off the paparazzi was the priest that walked in holding a Bible.
Oh.
Yeah, they thought, well, this is a weird birthday. Or wedding.
They've been engaged for a long time.
Yeah. They became engaged while celebrating his special day, his birthday, back in 2013. So
that is a long time.
Congratulations to the two of you crazy kids just making it work out there in Hollywood. Good times. Bean was at the Grateful Dead, one of their last shows up there in San Francisco. Their last, absolutely last and final shows were, of course, at Chicago's Soldier Field, the Fare Thee Well Tour. Grateful Dead will not be back, you guys, but just kidding. Sure they will. On Halloween, Bob Weir and Mickey Hart are set to meet up for one last show.
Uh-huh. Stop
now,
telling us
one
that.
One last show.
Listen, the reason these tickets are so expensive, you guys, is because this is it. I mean,
this is the last one.
Is your last chance to ever see these people doing these songs, so you better buy them.
This is it, right?
Right, except for
the next
Halloween.
One.
Except for whatever comes after Halloween.
They are reuniting as Dead and Company, but why the company? Well, that's because guitarist Phil Lesh will not be joining them. However, sitting in, doing some vocals and playing a little guitar, none other than John Mayer. What?
He's a good fit. Look, Trey Anastasio from Phish was a great fit for those Chicago dates.
Yeah.
And John Mayer is a great fit with the band as well. I mean, he's an improv guy, great guitar player, great singer,
but this
loves
is,
the Dead.
Is this it or is it
this
not
is it?
No,
but this is it,
this
though.
Is definitely it.
Oh, that's such a big liar.
Yeah, probably. I would have gone with Jackie Greene. He's my guy up there in for Phil Lesh.
Okay.
Google him. He's really good. Right. Really good. But that is all happening on October 31st, Halloween.
Now, Bean, do you have to go
Madison
to that one?
Square Garden. Bean, you're going to have to fly out.
Because that's this is the last
this
one.
This is it. This is the last one.
You got to see the last one.
I believe I've already seen one of the final 200 Grateful Dead shows, so I'm okay.
And I don't think we ever really tackled the fact that he saw Taylor Swift in London.
Yeah.
Flew back to San Francisco and saw the Grateful Dead that night.
I had a pretty busy weekend.
So not
a guy that gets pre-tired.
Yeah.
Flew not across the country.
Yeah.
Across the world.
Across the world, you guys.
That was unusual for me.
But it was important because it was their very
last
show.
So it made sense.
So that's why you did that.
And they can't take that away from me. Oh, wait.
31st, which will be the last one. So I think you should fly out.
Go to that one as well.
Yeah, I don't get it.
I don't either. Over the weekend, some Nirvana demos and alternate mixes were leaked online. They are now gone. They have disappeared. You can probably find them on certain sites. But don't you worry, because the Montage of Heck documentary, the Kurt Cobain documentary that was so amazing, we had director Brett Morgan in to talk about it. He is apparently going to be releasing some of those songs in November on the soundtrack when the film comes out on DVD and Blu-ray.
I pulled a clip from one of those songs, if you want to hear it.
This is an
early version, demo version of the song that became Come As You Are from Nirvana.
Wheel in the sky keeps on turning.
Chills. I mean,
sounds as good as ever.
It's raw, but I like it.
They changed it a lot.
They did, but
they did
still,
lyrics up,
you hear some of the core similarities. Also on that soundtrack, it will include a comedy sketch from Kurt where he does all the voices. And if you missed our voices earlier, it can't be worse than our Wheel of Janky voices that we did earlier.
Even when white folks try to be exciting, they still boring.
Yeah.
I have said that for years.
It's true.
Speaking of white people, Brooke Hogan, who of course is whose daughter?
Mine. That's right, brother.
Hulk Hogan's daughter. She came to her dad's defense when all of the tapes were leaked with him saying the N-word and other not-so-nice things about African-Americans. She came to his defense early on and wrote a poem for him, which was lovely. But she has now gone above and beyond by saying to Entertainment Tonight, "My dad's best friends with Mr. T. He's best friends with Dennis Rodman. He is not a racist." But this is where she kicks it up a notch, and I say, kudos you, Brooke Hogan. She said, you know, this is something that we have to put a stop to every day. Because I'll be honest with you, I've had a black guy call me a honky. And I've also been told that white people smell like bologna.
Although savagely racist.
I don't take offense to it. I just laughed at it. So now, we all knew we smelled like mayonnaise.
Wait, do we all smell?
Yeah, it's science.
Mayonnaise.
Right. But now.
Bologna? Is it just her or
is
it all of us?
I don't know. I think we need to look into this.
No, but it's not all of us.
Because we have the makings of a yummy sandwich.
That's racist.
Yeah, it's all pretty.
Oh, here we go. It's on.
Okay.
Race war.
All right,
race war's on, everybody. Okay. It's going down. It's all going down.
Okay.
Race war. Come on. Race war.
Okay.
Calm down. And something that Bean was very interested in, Busta Rhymes allegedly throwing muscle milk at someone in a gym. This took place at Steel Gym. He had been arguing with another guy, got mad, so allegedly just tossed a container of the power drink, striking the man. He was arrested for second-degree assault. He has since been released on his own recognizance. Busta Rhymes, you guys.
Yeah. I bet he pled in court really, really fast.
Because he raps really fast.
Right, because he's a super fast talker.
He doesn't do it slow at all.
I'll show myself out.
Okay. Please do. Why not? Sounds good. And we've been talking about it all morning long, but I can't get this across to you enough. Set your DVRs accordingly. It is Jon Stewart's last daily show on Comedy Central tonight. After more than 16 years and nearly 2,600 episodes, they are keeping the finale plans pretty secret. But word is, it goes long, so please, again, set your DVRs accordingly. There is nothing worse than tuning in and all of a sudden you don't have the end of it.
Delete? You want to delete? No!
No, I want to see the end of it. It is the worst. So set those DVRs accordingly.
He
now,
is a dick.
He is not.
I think that's Kevin, true. Why would I say that?
You're a, right? Why would you do that? All These Stars Were Born on today, August the 6th. Director M. Night Shyamalan is 45. Singer Jeri Halliwell. She is from the Spice Girls.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, she is 43. Actress Vera Farmiga, she is 42. Melissa George, 39. Model Marissa Miller is 37. Model Charlotte McKinney is 22. And friend of the show, beautiful woman, amazing actress, such a talent. It is Maren Dungey's birthday. So happy birthday to all of you. I'm Allie McKay, in for Ralph Garman. Welcome to Showbiz Beat.
You done being with the Bills? All right.
All right.
Thank you, Allie. Tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show, she's nominated for an Emmy for American Crime. She's also in The Leftovers. We have Regina King in the studio. We also have Bean's. Is this your best friend, Bean?
He is my best show business friend.
Best show business friend.
That's right.
Jimmy Pardo.
Love Jimmy.
He's going to be in the studio tomorrow morning. You've hung out. That's... He comes to your house, or you go to his house?
No. So, look, I'm taking it slow. He texted me one time about a year ago. I am fixing to text him back.
Wow.
Okay.
So, like I said,
it's on.
We're not rushing into it, but yeah, we're very close.
Bean can't snap his fingers.
You guys, what's up with that? Just find out about that today?
Well,
did you
not
realize that?
I think if I knew, I forgot, because that's fascinating.
I mean, I guess it's just one of those things I just never learned to do.
There's no learning
coming up.
No, it's just inherent. It's just innate. It's just you do it.
It's not.
Just God, do
I'm
it.
The worst beatnik.
He is the worst beatnik. That's true.
I try so hard.
And also tomorrow morning we have your tickets to see Fall Out Boy. So we'll see you tomorrow morning.